Hello, and welcome to Cider of Witchfield on the campus of Martinsville High School. My name is Lex Zorn, and I'll be bringing you all the action as your Plainfield Quakers challenge the Martinsville Artesians in Week 9 of the Indiana High School football season. Well, it's been a crazy season of thirds for your Quakers here in 2022. They opened the season with their first 0-3 start since all the way back in 1996. A shaky passing offense, defensive lapses, and a few injuries were all contributing factors as the Quakers lost 30-28 to Greenfield Central, 22-14 to Harrison, and 38-7 to Mooresville. That caused serious concern among Quaker fans that head coach Brian Woodard's farewell season would be a sad one. Then, however, the Quakers responded with their first three-game winning streak since 2015. Their offense was good and their defense was outstanding in a 28-14 win over Perry Meridian. They were outstanding on both sides of the ball in a 43-14 win over Greenwood, and then despite sputtering for much of the second and third quarters, they pulled off probably their most emotionally satisfying win in over 10 years, beating Decatur Central 34-32 in overtime, finally ending a 13-game losing streak to the Hawks. Then, however, things got bad again. 2 weeks to go, Plainfield beat itself at Franklin, turning the ball over three times inside the Franklin 10, including a fumble at the one-yard line that was returned 99 yards for a touchdown as the Grizzly Cubs won 35-12. Then in the final seconds of the second quarter, the Quakers had no answers for Whiteland's five-prong rushing attacks as the Warriors, the third-ranked team in Class 5A, won 45-14 on Plainfield Senior Day. Now tonight in their last regular season game, the three and five Quakers try to rebuild their momentum heading into their playoff opener 2 weeks from tonight at Harrison. Their opponent, as I said, is the Martinsville Artesians, who entered the game with a record of 6-2 and ranked number 9 in the state in Class 4A. And keep in mind that they gave Whiteland their only loss of the season, 35-12, back in Week 6. Now, so far this season, Plainfield has rushed 243 times and passed 186 times. Starting quarterback Hunter Newell has completed 109 of 185 passes. That's 58.9% for 1,297 yards, 11 touchdowns, and 9 interceptions. His leading receiver is senior Grant Irwin, who has 27 receptions for 392 yards and 4 touchdowns. Senior Noah Hessing has 25 receptions for 281 yards and 2 touchdowns. Junior Isaiah Miller has 20 receptions for 241 yards and 2 touchdowns. Junior Caden Vanderbush has 15 receptions for 152 yards and 1 touchdown. Senior Troy Larrison has 10 receptions for 109 yards and 1 touchdown, and senior Chris Stevens has 6 receptions for 73 yards. On the ground, the Quakers have a three-pronged attack led by senior Troy Larrison with 78 yards for 410 yards and a touchdown. Senior Noah Hessling, who's primarily been a wide receiver up until this season, with 63 rushes for 375 yards and 5 touchdowns. And senior Antonio Williams with 48 rushes for 237 yards and 4 touchdowns. Meanwhile, Martinsville has rushed 231 times and passed 215, a 1.07-1 ratio. Their starting quarterback is senior Tyler Adkins, who has completed 138 out of 214 passes for 1,692 yards, 19 touchdowns and only 4 interceptions, nearly a 5-1 touchdown interception ratio. His leading receiver is senior Garrett Skaggs, who has 55 receptions for 696 yards and 6 touchdowns, followed by senior Trevor Hott with 17 receptions for 223 yards and 1 touchdown. Sophomore Hunter Stroud has 18 receptions for 179 yards and 5 touchdowns. Sophomore Joshua Jones has 15 receptions for 162 yards, and the junior running back Braden Drake has 13 rushes for 13 receptions for 146 yards and 4 touchdowns. On the ground, Braden Schrake, like I said, a junior, is the only significant running back. He has 192 carries for 899 yards and 8 touchdowns, while starting quarterback Tyler Adkins has rushed 31 times for 99 yards and 2 touchdowns. No other Artesian has rushed more than 3 times, believe it or not. Head coach for Plainfield is Brian Woodard, who's 95 and 84 in his 17th and final season with the Quakers. Head coach for Martinsville is Brian Duggar, who's 18 and 14 in his 3rd season with the Artesians. Well, at this time, we'll take a short pause for a few words from our sponsors, and then we'll be back with the opening kickoff. Plainfield-Martinsville regular season finale coming at you live under the Friday Night Lights. Next. This broadcast of Plainfield Quakers football was made possible by the generous donations of our sponsors. We would like to recognize and thank them for their generosity and encourage you to support them. CCB Contracting, Geodis, Ganell Financial, Julia Berberich Remax Centerstone Plainfield, Kyle Burnfield Mortgage Lender Flagstar Bank, Team Turley Fairway Mortgage, Bailey and Wood Financial Group, African Plum Home, MyITND at MyITND.com, I-70 Record Service and Garage, BGW Construction LLC, BGW Construction LLC, The Beacon Sign Company, Jeff Brown Photography, Karen Alexander Photography, and Whitlow's Towing. Thank you, sponsors. Your support of the student athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Martinsville, we're just a few minutes away from kicking off this regular season finale. We're a little late in getting started, possibly because of the extensive Senior Day festivities here at Martinsville. Right now, it is a surprisingly warm day. It is 64 degrees right now in Martinsville under a mostly clear sky. We had a high today here in Martinsville of 68, which was a very pleasant surprise for me because granted, I was looking at the Indianapolis forecast, but Martinsville is only about 30 miles southwest of Indianapolis, so I don't think there would be much temperature difference. And for much of the last week, the high today was projected from 57 to 59. So nice that we got a little bit of a break with the weather. Hopefully we will for the playoff opener to reach here tonight back up at Harrison in Tippecanoe County, where we played back in week 2 in a 22-14 loss for the Raiders. Hopefully we will avenge that loss, you know, when it counts most. I will be talking about the sectional draw a lot more at halftime. Right now, while they're doing the coin toss, let's take a look at what the other Hendricks County teams are up to. Brownsburg holds at number 1 after last week's 45-28 win over Noblesville, a little closer than expected, but they do remain perfect at 8-0. Tonight, however, they visit another 8-0 team, the 4th-ranked Hamilton Southeastern Warriors, in what should be one of the best regular season games of the year. Meanwhile, in Class 6A, Avon finally got the monkey off its back. After an 0-7 start, the Orioles won last week over Zionsville 27-20 and should get a second consecutive win tonight as they visit 2-6 Noblesville, the Millers closing in on their 22nd consecutive losing season. Down in Class 3A, Tri-West drops a notch to number 11 despite a 53-0 win last week over the Crawfordsville Athenians. Tonight, they visit 6-2 Southmont. Meanwhile, Danville dropped to 3-5 last week with a 33-7 loss to the number 8 ranked team in Class 3A, the 4-time state champion Western Boone Stars, who in fact won the state championship 3 of the last 4 years. Tonight, Danville closes out the regular season against 4-4 North Montgomery, and finally Cascade improves to 4-4 last week with a 26-14 win at Monrovia. Tonight the Cadets try to clinch their first winning regular season in 9 years as they visit 1-6 Cardinal Ritter out at the beautiful stadium on the campus of Marion University there in West Indianapolis. That's correct. Well, Liam was pleasantly surprised to learn that Cardinal Ritter uses Marion Stadium. Liam just recently visited Marion University. He's a senior in high school and visiting a lot of colleges right now. So now the opening kickoff, Plainfield kicking off. And it's going to go down close to the end zone, a field of just around the 2 or 3. And he's got a hole up here. But, you know, we stopped him right around the 30 or 31. So Martinsville getting decent starting field position here tonight. The Artesians have a very, very good passing offense. Not so much of a good rushing, but, you know, they do have Braden Schrake, who's very reliable, but like I said, only two players who have more than three carries for the Artesians all season. So now, Martinsville starting off, and now it's a handoff, I believe, that was Schrake there. Picks up about three or four. Waiting for the signal. So they give him a credit for four on that. So now two receivers to the left, one to the right. Schrake, the running back, Tyler Adkins. One of the best quarterbacks in the state this year. Should be playing college ball the year right now. 19 touchdowns, only four interceptions on the season. Takes the handoff this time. He's got a man open, and he's got he's hit at the 50. Gets up to about the 44. That's going to be a pickup of about 40 yards. So that is a 23-yard pickup there. So first and 10 for the Artesians at the 44. So obviously a concerning start for Plainfield. Already it only took two plays for the Artesians to get into Quaker territory. 10:48 to go, and now a fumble. Okay, it's a good break for us. There was a mishandle on the snap, and Schrake wisely fell on it, but not until he lost 6 yards. So, boy, that is a big break for us. So now first and 10 becomes second and 16. We've got to take advantage of any unforced errors tonight. So three receivers to the left, one to the right, Schrake, the running back. Snap. Right, he's pressured. He's nearly sacked, and he gets rid of it, and it's off his fingertips. So all of a sudden, we got him in a third and 16 hole. So the first two plays, a 4-yard rush and a 23-yard pass. Now a 6-yard loss on a fumble and an incomplete pass. We got him in third and 16. Come on, boys. We have got to get him off the field here. And that's been the Achilles heel of Plainfield's defense all year, failing to get the other team off the field on third and long. So three receivers to the right, one to the left. High snap, but he gets it. Rolls to his right, looks downfield. And he's got a catch, and he's out of bounds around the 36. That was Garrett Skaggs there on the reception, about the 36. So he's going to be short of the first down. So fourth and two, they are going to go for it. Two receivers to each side. A 14-yard pickup there. So the fourth and two, we've got to get him off the field here. We've got to get the conversion here. Two receivers to the left, one to the right. Schrake, the running back. Adkins looking to the sideline. 10 seconds now on the play clock. 5 seconds, 4-3. I don't know. And now he's got it off. And he pitches back to Schrake, and he is going to have the first down and more inside the 30, knocked out of bounds around the 27 or 28. So Plainfield once again fails to get the team off the field on third and long, and now the Artesians are in business now after that 8-yard gain by Schrake. So two receivers to the right, one to the left. Adkins has completed two of three passes for 37 yards. And now fakes the handoff, and he throws, and it's just a completion for about 5 yards there. See where they mark it. So they did not, as far as that was so another 6 yard pickup there by Adkins on the pass. And now Fixman clears up the middle, and it is intercepted! All right! Now he's up to the 15, going over it to the right part of the field, and he's knocked down about the 13, but oh my God, did we need that kind of defensive play. So Quakers fans, looks like we've got somewhere in the neighborhood of about 250 Quakers fans here in the visiting bleachers right below me. Boy, that's the kind of play we needed on defense. Only the fifth interception of the year by Adkins compared to 19 touchdowns. Now we've got to capitalize. So we get the Quakers with 9:01 to go. Take their first offensive possession of the game. Three receivers to the left, none to the right. One running back, Hunter Newell, the quarterback, who's played progressively better as the season went on. Now we've got a rush there, and he goes over past the 20. That was Noah Hessing there, who's done a whole lot of different things this year. And they give him 8 on that one. You know, Coach Woodard said in the preseason that Noah was going to be playing, hold on, two receivers to the left, one to the right now. Screen pass is complete, and it's an incomplete pass. Sorry, I thought he had it. Isaiah Miller was the intended receiver. That was the first pass of the game for, Newell. So it's the 3rd and 2, very big 3rd and 2 for the Quakers. They start off with an eight yard rush by Hessing. Gives it to Hessing again. I think he does have the first down and about a yard more. We'll see what kind of spot he gets. But yeah, Noah Hessing, you know, Coach Woodard said in the pregame in the preseason show, in the previews for week 1. And he's got the first, okay. And they can run it for 4 a little bit better. The spot was a little bit better than I thought, so I'm glad to see that. So first and 10 for the Quakers at the 25. Now they've got 2 receivers to the left, 1 to the right. Noah Hessling is in there at running back. Low snap, and he gets to Hessling. He's got to go to the right side past the 30, and he's knocked out of bounds close to the 35, so he's going to be very close to another 3rd down. And you can hear the life in the Quakers fans here. And they're giving him credit for the first down. So 3 rushes, 22 yards for Noah Hessing, more than 7. That's 7 1/3 a carry until they show you that they can stop and keep giving it to him. 7:50 to go and counting. No score. Still 1st and 10 at their own 35. Takes the handoff down. Now Newell pursued. He takes it himself, and he's brought down for a gain of about 3, bringing up about 2nd and 7. So good awareness there by Hunter Newell. Newell's had some decent moments as a rusher this season. Give him credit for 3 there. He's only thrown 1 pass so far. 7:18 to go here and counting. So now 3 receivers to the left. Noah Hessing is the starting running back tonight for the Quakers. Now Hessing gets it again. He's got more room on the right side, and he gets up for about 4 or 5. It's going to be 3rd and short. So Noah Hessling, you know, doing very well. He's moved around back and forth between running back and wide receiver a lot this season. Now another 3rd and 2. We converted last time on 3rd and 2. Hopefully we'll do so again. So 3 receivers to the left now. I'll tell you, on a few occasions tonight, Hessling's been wide open on the right. And he is there again. And he plows his way forward, and he's got the first down and about 1 more. So the Quakers move the chains for the 3rd time on this drive. I like what I'm seeing. Martinsville, 6-2, ranked number 9 in the state in Class 4A after last week's 37-31 overtime loss to Mooresville. The Artesians beat Whiteland, the team who beat us 45-14 last week. Martinsville beat Whiteland. 35-21 3 weeks ago. And now, Newell, he's pursued. He's got to get rid of it. He does. He throws it way downfield. And did he make the catch? Yes, he did. All right. So, all right, I believe that was... I believe it was Antonio Williams there. And it looked like to me like Newell was just getting rid of it, so that was a great job. So the Quakers now first in at the 41, the first complete pass of the game for the Quakers now. Gives it again, I believe, and he breaks up to about the 26. So far the Quakers, the Artesians, and that was Heston for 15 that time. I have him 5 for 41. That's 8 a carry. That's far more than the 3.4 you need to keep the clock and the chains moving. And now he gives it over to who was that? That's Grant Irwin. He's brought down around the line of scrimmage. So 2nd and 10 now. So got to get some yards on this play. So now 2nd and 10 at the Martinsville 26. No score here. And now the play is whistled dead, the first flag of the game. And it's going to be, they bring it back 5 yards against the Quakers. So two receivers to the left, one to the right. Heston gets it. He's got a hole to the middle, and he gets up for about 8. So Noah Heston having his way early on with Martinsville defense. So it's going to bring up 3rd down for the Quakers in about 7 or so. Boy, I hope that he'll be able to do this role up at Harrison a couple of weeks from tonight for the playoff opener. 6 for 49 by my count for Heston so far. And the Quakers have run off now 4.5 minutes on this opening drive, on their opening drive. Now Heston gets it again, and he plows forward, and he's going to be very close to the first down. And we got a late flag, I think, hopefully it's for a personal foul against Martinsville, but we will see. The flag was after the play. Really nice and quiet here in this visitor's press box. This is the 5th time I've commentated here over the years. And still no signal about, it's going to be against Plainfield, so it will be coming back. So they're going to mark it down. Gee, it's come back past the 30. Personal foul. Well, it's personal foul like I hoped, but unfortunately against the wrong team. So 4th and 22, come on, boys. We've got to make sure that we don't, that we don't leave this, 3rd and 16, now it's 32. We've got to make sure we get some points on this drive. Obviously in 4-down territory, but... So now we've got, it looks like Isaiah Miller and Chris Stevens to the right, 2 receivers to the left, Hunter Newell in shotgun. Noah Hessing still in there at running back. He's off to a great start in this game. 4:02 to go and counting. No score. Newell gets it. Rolls to his right. He's got some room. Throws downfield, and it is too far to the right. It's out of bounds, so it'll be 4th and 16. So it looks like the Quakers are going to punt and, I guess, try to pin the Artesians' defense to their own territory. Disappointing that they had that personal foul. So the Quakers committed 2 penalties that worth 20 yards on that foul, and that very well could have cost them a score. I always say you can't leave any points on the field. We have a really nice crowd here tonight. It looks like we got about 2,000 or so Martinsville fans and about 250, maybe 300 Quaker fans here. So, okay, now we've got a, now it's straight here on a run. I guess there is a, I didn't, okay, that was tough. I thought it said third down. Maybe they just forgot to change it up there. So that was, Martinsville is the ball now, so I guess it was, I sorry about that. I will try to keep track and, but yeah, I'm pretty sure it did say third down there. Sometimes scoreboard operators here in high school ball aren't very reliable. So now, anyway, so Martinsville second and eight after a 2 yard, and now a good fake handoff there, and Atkins takes it himself, and he gets up about 4 or 5, so it'll be third and short there. Martinsville on its first possession through an interception, around the Plainfield 13. The Quakers got it down inside the red zone, but turned it over on downs, thanks in part to 20 yards worth of penalties. So now, third and two for the Artesians at their own 40, 2:43 to go here in county here in the first quarter. No score, last game of the regular season. Now, handoff there to Straight, and he moves forward about 4 or 5 yards. He does have the first. So 2:34 to go here in counting, 7:20 your time of day, coming at you live here at Martinsville. This is the 17th consecutive year that these two teams have met up, dating back to Martinsville joining the Mid-State Conference back in Coach Woodard's first season. The Quakers lead the series 9-7 in that stretch. Last year, Plainfield on their senior day won 28-27 on a thrilling goal line stand. And now they go straight, but this time he's stuffed for a gain of just about one. 2:06 to go now. Martinsville's numbers, by the way, are very hard to see because of their color scheme. Dark blue and dark red. Not much contrast, and they give Shrake credit for 1 yard there. He's on pace to get 1,000 yards this season. Should be playing college ball. So three receivers to the left, one to the right. 1:35 to go now and counting. Atkins looks to the sideline, then, you know, gets in stance. High snap, and it goes way over his head, and now he's going to have to get rid of it. He does, and he throws it away. All right, so it's third and long. Now we've got to get him off the field this time. Last time we let him convert, it was third and 16. They got a 14-yard gain, then got a first down. We did get an interception later on, but, yeah, we got to take advantage of that. And now that's the second unforced error for Martinsville tonight. They had a fumble earlier that cost them 6 yards. Got to get him off the field this time, boys. Third and 9 at their own 45. No excuses here. And it'll be a great confidence boost if we get a good stop here. Make a punt. So now we got him, and we got him for a sack. No, he dodged it. He got rid of it, but it's incomplete. All right. Oh man, he was. You know, we had him in our grasp, and he got away. About as aggressive as when Eli Manning did against the Patriots in the Super Bowl that year. And then had the, you know, miracle catch by David Tyree. But nevertheless, no harm done. So, we did, at least we got him off the field, you know, make a variation of the famous Dennis Green quote. We didn't let him off the hook at that time. So 4th and 9 for the Artesians at their own 45. And it's blocked! It takes a long roll, and it goes out of bounds. So, oh man, that was a close one. So it did go past, into Quaker territory and, goes out of bounds, so. Man. So the Quakers, I like what I'm seeing, though. They're playing with a lot of aggression. You know, now they've just got to finish this drive. So they take over now at their own 17. 1:12 to go here in the third quarter. Martinsville, a great passing offense. Not a real good. They do have one very good running back in Braden Drake, but not much more than that. So Atkins is a decent rushing quarterback, but Mainly it's the passing offense that makes the Artisans tick. So now two receivers to the right, one to the left. You got a rush here. I believe that was testing again, and he's going to be up for about 6 or 7. Didn't get quite as good a spot as I thought. It was only 4, but nevertheless, Springfield on the move. Two receivers to the right, one to the left. Dual in shotgun. 44 seconds to go in the first quarter. No score. Now handoff. He's got a little bit of a hole this time, but Martinsville covers him, and he goes down for just a gain of about 2. So Hessling now, I think it's going to bring up 3rd and 4. Hessling already with 8 carries in this game. Bringing up a very big 3rd and 4 for the Quakers. I have him 8 for 55. 20 seconds to go now. And they could just let the clock, yeah, I think they're just going to let the time run out, because there's about a 3-second differential. I mean, there are 3 more seconds on the play clock than on the quarter clock. So 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And that's it. So, after 1 quarter of play here at Martinsville, no score yet, but your Quakers are looking promising here in the regular season finale. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors on AudioSportsOnline.com. This broadcast of Plainfield Quakers football was made possible by the generous donations of our sponsors. We would like to recognize and thank them for their generosity and encourage you to support them. CCB Contracting, Geodis, Dinell Financial, Julia Berberich, Remax Centerstone Plainfield, Kyle Burnfield, Mortgage Lender, Flagstar Bank, Team Curly Fairway Mortgage, Bailey and Wood Financial Group, African Plum Home, MyIT Indy at MyITIndy.com, I-70 Record Service and Garage, BGW Construction LLC, The Beacon Sign Company, Jeff Brown Photography, Karen Alexander Photography, and Whitlow's Towing. Thank you, sponsors. Your support for the student athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Martinsville, we're about to start the second quarter of this regular season finale with your Plainfield Quakers and the host Martinsville Artisans tied at 0. Martinsville got the ball first, converted a gained 14 yards on a 3rd and 16 play, then got a first down through an interception later in the possession. Plainfield got down inside the 20. Inside the red zone, but committed 2 penalties, resulting in moving them 50 yards back, and then turned it over on downs. Martinsville then punted on their next possession. Now Plainfield has the ball 3rd and 4 at their own 23. So now low snap, but he gives the ball to I believe that was Hessling, and I think he's got enough for the first down, maybe one more. Noah Hessling has been quite a workhorse tonight here. In his final regular season game of his illustrious career here at Plainfield, he's a 4-year starter, 3 years as exclusively at wide receiver, as they give him credit for 5 there, including the first down. But he started exclusively at wide receiver for 3 years, then has alternated between wide receiver and running back this year. So 1st and 10 now for the Quakers up around 28, 11:32 to go here and counting here in the second quarter, still no score. 2 receivers to each side, Hessling the running back, Newell in shotgun, takes the snap, got time, looks back, throws deep up the middle for Miller. Oh, I don't think Miller saw it coming because he didn't even stick his arms out at all. He was fairly close to it. I think he would have had a fair chance if he had reached for it. So I guess a little bit of lack of communication there. Newell now 2 of 4 in this game for 15 yards. So 2nd and 10 now for the Quakers, 11:18 to go. I like, though, that I think Newell has been playing with progressively more confidence, starting with the win down at Perry Meridian in week 4. He looked pretty shaky the first 3 games. So 2 receivers to each side now, 1 running back, now handoff. And now he's up the middle, twists around and brought down for 2 or 3. He might get forward progress out to the 31. That was Hessing once again. Now they give him credit for 3, so it'll bring up a very big 3rd and 7. Hessling already 10 carries here. Last week was Plainfield Senior Day, and that 45-14 loss to Whiteland. Hopefully it will not turn out to be their last home game of the season and the last home game of Brian Woodard's career. There's still a chance they'll have a home playoff game, but they'd have to win a playoff game to do it. More about that on halftime. So now Newell takes a screen pass. He's got a man open. He's got a completion. And he's going to get up very close to the first down. He's going to be a yard or so short. And that was testing there appropriately on the reception. Good job, you know, being on top of it when his man, when Newell was under pressure. Testing, that was Hessing's first reception of the game after 10 rushes, but it's going to be coming back. Okay, sorry about that. I completely missed the flag. If my broadcast partner, Rob Kindle, were here, he would have not only picked it up, but be able to tell you what it was. He would make a great official because he's really good at picking out penalties. I'd make a terrible official. About the only thing I'm any good at picking out is pass interference. Maybe roughing the kicker, you know, but that happens so rarely. So now third down and 17 for the Quakers at the 11. Three receivers to the right, one to the left, and now we've got, I believe the Quakers have just taken their first time out here with 10:19 to go here. Now, Martinsville taking the timeout, so maybe they are trying to, you know, force some kind of, you know, turnover or something to give them an easy scoring opportunity, so hopefully Plainfield will be ready for it. The main thing, no screw-ups here, I think one thing that you look at the last 2 weeks, the losses to Franklin and Whiteland, I think, I'll need to check the stats on this, but I think neither of our opponents the last 2 weeks committed a single turnover. And we got to start doing that too. We got to start playing turnover free football. And if we do that, I think we will beat, I think we'll win this game, and I think we'll beat Harrison, tonight in that rematch. I mean, they only beat us by 8 last time, and they played a pretty soft schedule since then, and probably getting a little big-headed because they've gotten a lot of easy wins over cupcakes. Well, we've been, you know, getting a lot of losses, but we've been playing a lot of heavyweights too. Nearly every team that we've played this season has been ranked. So now 3rd and 17 for the Quakers, 10:19 to go here in the second quarter. Still no score, 7:31 your time of day on this beautiful early autumn evening here in the lovely community of Martinsville. So now 3 receivers to the right, 1 to the left, 1 running back. Newell takes it, drops it back. He's got plenty of time. Throws deep downfield, and it is just overthrown. It is just overthrown. The intended receiver was, I believe that was Hessing there. So the Quakers now will be punting from their end zone. That's a dangerous position. We've got to be ready for them to go all out for a block. We've got to try to get the ball past midfield. Have some good blocking here. Plainfield has 5 passes, 11 rushes so far in this game, a little over a 2-to-1 ratio. Good snap. And now he gets the punt off. Bounces around the 40. It takes the Plainfield bounce up to about the 43 where it is down. So Martinsville will be starting off with great field position. 10:03 to go here in the second quarter. Still no score here at Martinsville on the Artesian Senior Day. .03 to go here in the second quarter. Martinsville taking over 1st and 10 at the Plainfield 43. The Artesians have one of the best quarterbacks in the state in senior Tyler Adkins. He came into the night with 19 touchdowns, only 4 interceptions. So now he's got 2 receivers each side. Braden Strick, the running back. Adkins in shotgun. Takes a snap. Takes the handoff, and it is nearly intercepted. He went way after that. I think, and now even though he didn't quite get the interception, the Quakers fans really showing their appreciation there. I like that. You know, there are some plays that don't show up in the box score, but there are, plays that show a lot of toughness, a lot of heart, and that was one of them. So, you know, not every play is a world beater, but, you know, when you show that kind of effort, that's a really good sign heading into the playoffs. Atkins only 3-for-8 to start this game so far. So now Atkins drops back. He's got time. Throws deep down toward the end zone. Did he make the catch? We got a flag, nevertheless. I think he did. They're marking it up for 3. Let's see. I thought it looked like there might have been pass interference on the play. And if it's a pass interference against Plainfield, then presumably the Artesians would decline it, and it would be good. So, yeah. So now it's a 40-yard gain by the Artesians. So now they're knocking on the door with 9:47 to go here in the first quarter. It's going to stop here, boys. It's going to stop. 3 receivers to the left now. 1 running back. Atkins in shotgun. The snap is high, but he gets it. Now, and we got, okay, good stop. He stopped the running back right at the line of scrimmage. Boy, a goal line stand would be awesome here. That would be awesome. So they're showing him for no gain. So 2nd and goal at the 3. Come on, boys. It was a goal line stand that, you know, clinched the big win for us last year on our senior day. Let's get a goal line stand here. 2 receivers to the left. And now, it throws into the end zone, and there's a touchdown. So, 8:58 to go when Martinsville opens the scoring here in the second quarter. And we got fireworks here. That's pretty impressive. You don't see that too much. So they have the Notre, their fight song is the same as Notre Dame's. I somehow missed that before. So now, Ethan, Handlein on the extra point. He's 28 of 29 of the season, and he's good on that one as well. So now the pressure on the Quakers offense. They've had some good moments on offense, but they have not finished drives. It's been a struggle for most of the season. They've got to start doing that tonight. You know, Coach Woodard this week, on his show, the Brian Woodard show on Audio Sports Online, he expressed decent optimism that the Quakers have a shot to win their sectional. But he said they've got to start playing well now. They can't just wait until the week before the sectional and then start playing hard. They've just got to get in good habits of just, you know, bringing it all right now. They've given a great effort tonight. They've done a lot of good things, but they are behind on the scoreboard now, 7-0. So let's get those points back, boys. So now they're playing that Irish hard rock song. Liam, do you know the name of the song?
No.
I asked my son. He's a big, you know, contemporary music connoisseur. And he's becoming a big classic rock connoisseur as well. Not just classic rock, but classic R&B also. I mean, you know, I'm 51, he's 17, and he's into a lot of stuff that predates me. So it's a deep kick, and it's going to go into the end zone for a touchback. Wow, heck of a leg on that kid. He should be playing college ball a year from now. So 8:58 to go here in the second quarter. Your Quakers playing on offense for the first time in the hole, 7-0 here. You know, the first game that lost, that 30-38 loss to Greenfield Central, Hunter Newell went deep over and over, and I don't think he completed one deep pass in the game. He especially went deep to Irwin a lot. And because of all the incompletions, I think that shook his confidence, and he looked really shaky the next 2 weeks, the losses to Harrison and Mooresville. But then starting with the win at Perry Meridian in week 4, he started to progressively play better and seems to be more confident. So now a handoff again. I believe that's Hessing still, and he gets about 4. So Noah Hessung has carried well, but he hasn't had that big super breakthrough yet. We need that from him right now. He gets Spore on that one. Already 11 carries for the senior, 11 for 67. We just need that breakthrough gain. We got to get, to even up the score. So two receivers to the right, one to the left. Hunter Newell, the quarterback in shotgun. I believe Hessung is still there as the running back. Good snap. Throws deep down the left side. He's got Miller open. He's got the catch past the 50, and he goes down about the 45. All right, that's the kind of play we need. So the first long completion for Hunter Newell tonight. They give him credit for 30 yards. Mark it at the 46. Good job, boys. Isaiah Miller has shown a lot of promise here in the second half of the season. And now we've got a whistle here. Not sure what the problem is, but we'll see. The play covered 30 yards. So I think we got a time. Oh, okay, we got an injured Artesian here. It is number one, Logan Poppy, last name spelled P-O-P-P-Y. He is a junior defensive back, 5'10", 155. Man, I'll tell you, I'm 5'10", about 170. I can't imagine playing defensive back. Must be a real tough kid out there. And about the only, if I could go back again, I would have learned to be a kicker. Because that's one position that you don't need any special physical tools to excel at. You got to build up your legs, but anybody who takes the time to learn the technique can be a good kicker, and probably good enough to probably good enough to be the number one kicker on your varsity high school football team, even among girls. I mean, I've seen a couple of girl kickers who were really good, consistently hitting extra points. Including Sam Miller at Avon. So, even at 6A school, they had a reliable girl kicker. So two receivers to the right now. Handoff there and gets about three or four. And see what were they marking. Give them three on that one. I'll tell you, Antonio Williams, who wears number four, he's a senior. He's done some promising things, especially in the second half of the season, but he was surprisingly missing from the game for most of last week until, the game was way out of reach and he had some nice moments in the fourth quarter. So second and seven for the Quakers. Now, handoff again. This time he gets up the middle and he dives forward. And he's going to be really close to the first down. He might have it. And I'll tell you, I really like the way, so Antonio Williams there with his first two carries, and he gets 9 yards out of them. So now Noah Hessen coming back in, and, they slapped hands, Williams and Hessen did. So now Hessung, he has hit at the line, spins around though. He does have the first down and a little more. And now gets a late push and gets up to about the 31. We'll see where they mark him. Hessung already with his 12th carry of the game. We got to get a score on this drive. If we don't, I think, it'll really get into our heads. So first and 10 now for the Quakers. At their 31. Testing 12 for 72. 12 for 72, that's an even 6 to carry. And we're now at the exact halfway moment of the second quarter. Now picks the handoff. Newell rolls to his right. He's got a completion there. And he picks up about 3 or 4. Who was that? Okay, that was Brandon Hendry with, I believe, his first reception of the season. So it'll be 2nd and 6 for the Quakers at the 27. Five-12 to go in counting. Now a handoff just to Newell, to Hessling, excuse me, and he's got about 4 or 5 up the middle. Quakers fans being very supportive of these kids tonight. So Hessling gets, and now it's complete. We got the first down. And now inside the 10, and now he breaks the tackle inside the 5. All right. Who was that? That was Isaiah Miller, who had a 30-yard reception. Earlier, he gets a gets 18 right there. So first, and now we've got a whistle here. So Plainfield, 4:30 to go here in the second quarter, down 7-0. First and goal at the 4. They don't want to squander this opportunity. Now, I like this timeout here. That's why you got to save your timeouts. Unfortunately, they don't have a timeout count here on the scoreboard at Martinsville. Although, you know, generally the facilities here are really good. I mean, this is the nicest visitor press box. You know, I've been to about 40 high school stadiums. I'd say probably only about 10 of them have a visitor's press box, and usually the visitor's press box is very modest. And, of course, the one at Greenwood back in week 5, it's this little wooden thing. It's only slightly bigger than a phone booth. And they had another crew reserved for it, and they didn't even have electricity there. They had to bring out a generator. And they let me plug in with an extension cord, and I commentated the game from the bleachers. That was quite an experience, but I had a great time doing it, though. It's great to be there with the Quaker fans, you know. So now back to action here. The Quakers line up. They got a Hessling gets it. He dives toward the end zone. He's going to be, I think, a couple of yards short. But, you know, the main thing is that we get it in there. And if they, you know, if it takes 2 or 3 plays, you know, and that means they'll have less time to, that Martinsville will have less time to do something to counter, you know, and take the lead back. And we get the ball first to start the second half, remember. So Hessling picks up 2. Now Antonio Williams coming in at running back. Quarterback sneak there by Newell. And I think he handed it back to Williams, who I think got in for the touchdown. And now they're saying no. He's got to be within a yard or so. So now they hurry up into formation. And now a quarterback sneak. They push him in. Yeah, he's got it. All right. So now we're an extra point away from tying it. And now we got a late flag. Oh, no, we got a fight. Oh, no. Hopefully this will be offsetting penalties. And you never want to see a fight, but God, I mean, you know, it was broken up quickly, but. So anyway, the officials are deliberating now. But I believe it was Newell there, on that quarterback sneak. It did look to me like they had, you know, sometimes, you know, you'll see a team, they'll put in somebody, they'll do a direct snap to running back, but that looks like Newell to me. So, they have not put, okay, finally they put the 6 points on the scoreboard. So anyway, now the kicker for Plainfield, Cameron Grimes, he hit his first 16 of the year, then very oddly missed his next 4, but then he made both of them last week to get back on track. In the loss to Franklin, he was 2 for 2, making him 18 for 22 on the year. Cameron Grimes is only a sophomore, showing a lot of promise. Hopefully he'll end up being our best kicker since the Hagee brothers. Morgan, a senior on the 2014 team, and John, a senior on the 2016 team, both of whom went on to Ball State. And Morgan did particularly well there. He was consistently one of the best college football kickers in the country for 4 years for the Cardinals. Now Grimes on the extra point. It is up, and it is good. So we are tied. 3:28 to go. So now we just have to keep the Artesians from scoring the rest of the last 3:28, and then we get the ball in the second quarter with then we get the ball to start off the second half with a chance to take the lead. Let's do it, boys. Let's do it. Party Rock Anthem. Oh, yeah, my son knows this one, too. Party Rock Anthem. Who's the artist, Liam? Okay, yeah, okay. So, Andrew. So, 3:28 to go. There's no scoring here until the second quarter. Then Tyler Atkins threw a 3-yard touchdown pass for the Artesians. Followed by a 1-yard quarterback sneak by Hunter Newell with 3:28 to go. So it took the Quakers 5.5 minutes to answer. So, I mean, that was good. It was a 5-minute, we consumed exactly 5.5 minutes on the drive. That, by the way, was Hunter Newell's sixth rushing touchdown of the year in 9 games. So he's averaging two for us every 3 games. So good job, Hunter. So 3:28 to go here. It's a line drive kick, and it's it goes. Oh, and it looked like he looked like he thought it was going to go out of bounds, and it didn't. But it looked to me like the player touched it with 1 foot out of bounds at about the 5. So I think that's where the Artesians will be taking over. If so, that's great. But let's see what the call is. But I like the Quaker fans are really into it tonight. You know, certainly, you know, they're already getting, you know, their money's worth. Are they doing a re-kick here? Are they saying that it did go out of bounds? It didn't look like it went out of bounds to me. But the Artesians are taking over at the 35. All right. So now, throws deep. He's got a man open. Oh no! Oh no! He was wide open, and he could go all the way for the touchdown. And now we're rushing over. We got him down at the 3, but oh no! He was wide open. That's terrible. Oh no! That play covers about 72, 73 yards. But that does show why Atkins is one of the best in the state. And if they get a score here, then that really changes things. A 72-yard pass there. Yeah, he was just way, 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 way open. So I have, hold that thought. Two receivers now to the left, one running back, Atkins in shotgun, 2:52 to go in counting. Now, he takes the handoff. He takes it himself. He goes toward the end zone. He's going to be short by at least a yard. Hopefully more. We'll see what kind of spot they give him. Score, but the Artesians knocking on the door, taking the lead back after that 72-yard pass there from the 35 to the 3. Very demoralizing. He was just, you know, he was almost open from here to Plainfield. A couple of Quakers did, you know, do a good job getting, rushing down to tackle him before the score. Oh, they said they stopped him for no gain, so. All right, so second and goal at the 3. Two receivers now to the left, one running back. Atkins and shotgun, 2:07 to go here in the half. Takes the handoff now, throws in the end zone, and it is caught for the, did he get in bounds this time? Yes. So both, Martinsville scores now coming on 3-yard passes. That one was 2:01, and it was a 1:27 drive. Very, very demoralizing after the Quakers finally finished the drive tonight. Oh man, we're still only down by 6 with the conversion pending, but man, that is demoralizing that when we scored, that, you know, they answered as quickly as they did and with so little resistance. The extra point is up, and it is good. So 2:01 to go here in the first half. Your Quakers trying to hang on. They after tying the game with 3:28 to go, Martinsville scores almost effortlessly on their ensuing possession, and the Quakers go down by 7 again. 2:01 to go. Man, you know, it's one of those things. If we lose, I mean, Martinsville is 6-2. They're ranked number 9 in the state in Class 4A. They beat Whiteland, who has spent time at number 1 in 5A this season, currently at number 3. They're the team that beat us 45-14 last week. Losing to Martinsville, if we play a good game and still lose to Martinsville, that in itself is not such a bad thing. But I hate going in to the going into the playoffs on a 3-game losing streak, which would also mean, by the way, that when we open the playoffs at Harrison 2 weeks from tonight, we would not have won. We would not have won a game in five long weeks, over a month. And I just, and not only that, but our last win would have been against Greenwood, who we didn't think was a great team, but now it turns out they've, you know, ended up being a pretty bad team this year. They're 1-7 now, and likely to end the season at 1-9. They play, I don't remember who they played tonight, but I remember it was a good team, and then they drew, I can figure it out here. Let me look that up. Yeah, they play Whiteland tonight. I'm sure it was likely to get absolutely decimated. And then they play Martinsville at home to open the playoffs next week. Sad farewell tour for head coach Mike Campbell, who's done a lot of good with the Woodmen, got them to the semi-state back in 2017, won at least one playoff game in 13 of his 17 seasons, but apparently not this year. So anyway, the Quakers now they're really going to have to try to score. All right, well, I think it should anyway. So 3 receivers to the left. Newell rolls. He's got Grant Irwin with the completion. He's got the first down and about a yard more, so the clock will stop to move the chain. So good start to the drive for the Quakers. Grant Irwin has done a lot of good this year. Hopefully he'll finish strong. Newell now 6-for-8 by my count. So now, Newell rolls to his right. He's got a completion. And he's got, I think he got the first down again. I think that was Miller that time. Yeah, so they did give him credit for the first. All right. So two plays on the drive, two first downs for the Quakers. Let's get the tie going to the locker room. 1:27 to go. Three receivers to the left now. There's handoff now. I believe that's Hessling, but they're right on top of him, and he only gets about 2 or 3, and the clock will keep on ticking. And now the Quakers wisely use a timeout with 1:17 to go here in the quarter. It'll be 2nd and 6 at the 45, at their own 45. Well, let me catch my breath a little bit here. Right now, we're here at Siderowitz Field on the campus of Martinsville High School here in Martinsville, Indiana, alma mater of the late, great John Wooden, who of course, star at Purdue, led the Boilermakers to a final number one ranking in 1932 before they had the NCAA tournament, unfortunately, though the Boilermakers boast of having won the national championship that year. And then went on to win 10 national championships as the men's basketball head coach at UCLA from 1964 to 75. So, now back to action here. The Quakers 2nd and 6 at the 45. At their own 45, 1:17 to go. I believe they have one timeout left. Three receivers to the left. Now screen pass to Hessling. He's got it. He's got some room. Now gets up to about the 50. I'm sorry, that was Irwin. Pick up about 4, so it'll be 3rd and 2. So they're going to have to hurry here. Or as John Wooden said, be quick, but don't hurry. great quote from, one of many great quotes from Wooden. Actually, okay, they give him credit for five there. So third and one. Come on, boys, let's get this here. Three receivers to the right now. Handoff, takes the handoff. Mule takes it himself. And he's got a man on, he's got a completion close to the 30. All right. And we got a late flag. Hopefully it's some sort of personal foul against the Artesians, but we shall see. I believe that was Irwin there. And we've got an injured player. I think we got an injured Quaker here. Okay, so it looks like it's going to be against the Quakers. Well, they're moving it back to where the line of scrimmage was, so maybe they're just doing a replay of down. I mean, was it offsetting penalties? I don't know. I wish they had mic'd officials. I think it was at Harrison where we had mic'd officials, which, is, of course, that's where we'll be 2 weeks from tonight to open the playoffs. Hope you all will make the road trip up there. A little over an hour north of Plainfield, up there in Purdue County, near West Lafayette, near the campus of Purdue University. In fact, I took my son by Purdue after the game that night. My son wants to study engineering in college.
I did not see much around Purdue today. Sorry.
Okay, so they're just going to do a replay of the down. Okay. So now third and two. Newell, come on. And now he takes it himself. He does get the first down. So good job. We're going to have to spike it or something really quickly after a gain of about four there on the rush by Hunter Newell. Or did we take the timeout there? So 29.2 seconds to go here, 8:01 your time of day. Man. Yeah, my God, my son, you know, he instantly recognized that as YMCA by the Village People, a song that predates him by 26 or 27 years. My son was in 78, good job, Liam. He was born in, Liam was born in 2005, but he knew right off that song came out in the 78. Yeah, he loves 70s R&B music, and he's given me a new appreciation for it. You know, a lot of people who know me as such a rocker are surprised that, you know, I'm 51 now, to put this in perspective. A lot of people are surprised that up until the mid-80s, I was a big R&B guy, and then I just really lost interest in the genre when it got so darn computerized. But, you know, Liam has really not only gotten me back into that genre, but really made me realize how good it was in the 70s before I was listening to much music, and before I was even alive in some cases. So first and 10 at the... And now we got the play whistle dead, and the clock stops at 26.7 seconds to go. We got a flag here. Hopefully it is on the Artesians, but no, it's on the Quakers, darn it. All right. So now, first and 15 at their own 48 for the Quakers, 29.2 seconds to go in the half, trailing by 7. Mule drops back. He's got plenty of time. He could run if it throws deep downfield, but it is way way out of bounds, way too far to the right, so that'll bring up third and 15. Newell, 8 of 11 now through the air, overall having a very good game, but, you know, we just haven't made the big plays that we need to. Hopefully we'll pull one out of the hat here. 22.6 seconds to go now in the half. Well, hopefully when we're at Harrison in a couple of weeks, we'll have that same private room that we had last time where we shall see. So now three receivers to the left, one to the right, one running back. You will take a snap, rolls to his left. Gets rid of it, and it's too high. He is trying to hit Grant Irwin, just threw it too high. And now I think the Quakers fans wanted pass interference theory. However, they did not get it. So now Newell was 8 of his first 10, completed 8 of his first 10. Then now he's been incomplete on his last two. So 17.5 seconds to go, 3rd and 15. We've got to get some yards here because I don't want to take the risk of Martinsville getting the ball back at all. You know, if we have to go to the locker room trailing by 7, so be it. I mean, I hope it's not the case. I hope we do get the score here. But the main thing is that we can't go in down two possessions. That would be devastating. So now, over to Irwin. The screen pass, and did he get out of bounds? If not, then we got to, he gets up to about the 12. Can we stop the clock? Apparently not. So, that was, after one half of play here at Martinsville, your score, Martinsville 14, Plainfield 7. Well, okay, I didn't know if Plainfield had a timeout left or not. Apparently they took a timeout. So let's see if they're going to put time on the clock. The players have not headed for the locker room yet. That last play, by the way, regardless of whether there's more time more time left in the half, that was an 11-yard pickup there by Grant Irwin. I'll tell you, Irwin, I think, is, you know, one of our most underrated players. And I think the thing is, if you look at his highlight reel from this year, it's very impressive. It's just that sometimes, you know, he's had a couple of games where he didn't get a lot, you know, maybe only got 2 or 3 receptions. And sometimes, you know, there have been long gaps between his touchdowns. But, you know, he's really had a great senior season, all things considered. And I think he's still got a shot to play college ball next year. You know, he's... Okay, the Quakers have 1 second left. We got one play from the Artesian 41. So we got 3 receivers to the right, 1 to the left, 1 running back. So I guess we're going to take a shot at the end zone or maybe a bunch of laterals. We'll see. And we got a flag here. Hopefully it is against the Artesians, but we shall see. You know, I don't know that there's been one penalty against Martinsville today, and if so, that's a sign of a, okay, this one is against Martinsville. Thank you. So, from the 41 now to the 36. 41 to the 36 now, so one play left from the 36 to try to tie this going into the locker room. Screen pass now, it is complete. And he's inside the 35, inside the 30. He's got something, and he's finally down. It's not the 15, or the 25, excuse me. So, anyway, now the Quakers head to the locker room with a 14-7 deficit here. And now the player who made the catch, still, and finally he gives up the ball.
Liam.
I'm sorry, my son turned off the light here in the press box. He turned it right back on. Sorry. All right. So, anyway, so now we got 20 minutes set on the halftime clock here. It looks like a big halftime show planned. And after one half of play here at Martinsville, your Quakers, a tenth game. They're down, but they're still in it. They trail the Martinsville Artesians 14-7 here on audiosportsonline.com. We'll be back with a recap and a look ahead to the second half and a look ahead to the sectional after these words from our sponsors. This broadcast of Plainfield Quakers football is made possible by the generous donations of our sponsors. We would like to recognize and thank them for their generosity and encourage you to support them. CCB Contracting, Geodis, Janelle Financial, Julia Burbridge, Remax Centerstone Plainfield, Kyle Burnfield, mortgage lender, Flagstar Bank, Team Turley Fairway Mortgage, Bailey and Wood Financial Group, African Plum Home, MyIT Indy at MyITIndy.com, I-70 Record Service and Garage, BGW Construction LLC, Beacon Sign Company, Jeff Brown Photography, Karen Alexander Photography, and Whitlow's Towing. Thank you, sponsors. Your support for the student-athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Martinsville, we're at halftime with your Plainfield Quakers trailing the host Martinsville Artesians 14-7 here in the last regular season game. It's been a very tightly competitive game throughout. Martinsville got the ball first on third and 16, got a 14-yard gain, and then made a fourth down conversion. However, Plainfield intercepted a pass later on that possession and drove down into the red zone, but turned it over on downs after two penalties totaling 20 yards. Then early in the third quarter, in the second quarter with 8:58 to go, Tyler Atkins threw a 3-yard touchdown pass, making it 7-0. However, Plainfield, after moving the ball well but failing to turn to a complete drive earlier in the game, then went on a very methodical 5.5-minute drive and scored with 3:28 to go on a 1-yard quarterback sneak by Hunter Newell, his 6th rushing touchdown of the season. Both extra points were good, making it 7-0. However, on the first play of the ensuing drive, Atkins threw 72 yards, advancing the ball down to the 3, and then threw another 3-yard touchdown pass, and bringing us to our current score of 14-0. Plainfield did, taking over with 2:01 to go, Plainfield did make a good effort. And then on the last play of the drive, had it at the 41, and then went on, and then a 15-yard screen pass ended the half. So the Quakers trailing by 7. They do get the ball first to start the first. They do get the ball first to start the second half. A look at their statistics. Hunter Newell basically has played well. He's completed 10 of 14 passes for 119 yards by my count. No touchdowns and no interceptions. However, not a lot in the way of long completion so far. Looking at the receiving statistics, Grant Irwin, four receptions for 27 yards. Isaiah Miller, 3 for 58 yards, including a team game-high 30-yarder. And then Noah Hessling, 1 for 16. Antonio Williams, 1 for 15. And Brandon Hendry, 1 for 4. On the ground, Noah Hessling has 14 rushes for 74 yards, Hunter Newell 3 for 8 and a touchdown, and Antonio Williams 3 for 10. So basically, so far looking at what Plainfield's done in this game, they've played a B game, but, you know, they haven't beaten themselves except for, you know, the two turnovers, you know, on their first drive that probably cost them a score were disappointing, but other than that, they played good fundamental football. They just need to make a couple of more big plays. They need to get one or two breakthrough plays, and I think they're going to have a good shot to win this game, as long as they don't beat themselves, as long as they play a half of turnover-free football and don't leave any points on the field. I think that they're pretty evenly matched with Martinsville. The Artesians, they have a very good passing offense, but if we don't have any more defensive lapses, if we get them off the field, don't give up any third down, third and longs anymore, which I think that should be one of Coach Woodard's big goals for the second half. Don't give up any third and longs. Get them off the field. We really need to build that confidence for our defense here in our last, this is our last regular season game to tune up for the playoffs. Of course, we have 2 weeks of practice to tune up for the playoffs, but there's no substitute for real game action. So anyway, if we just play our A game in the second half, no unforced errors, no turnovers, make, you know, even two or three big plays, I think we're going to get out of here with a win. A high-quality win. Martinsville, again, 6-2, ranked number 9 in the state in Class 4A. They did give Whiteland their only loss of the season, 35-21 back in Week 6. So this would be a high-quality win, especially coming on the road, and especially to break that two-game losing streak to, you know, the two-game losing streak, you know, after After we had the 0-3 start, then won the 3 in a row, capped off by that triumph over Decatur Central, where we ended that 13-game losing streak to the Hawks with that dramatic, emotional overtime win. We were on top of the world. Then, you know, however, the last 2 weeks, you know, have really, they've been tough losses. I mean, and both the good teams. I mean, you know, Franklin ranked number 8 right now in the AP poll in Class 5A. Whiteland ranked number 3, but I think really it's the 3 turnovers deep in Franklin territory 2 weeks ago, and then that we just had no answers for the Whiteland rushing attack last week. That was painful. So, you know, I like our chances in the playoffs a lot better if we get the win tonight than if we head in with a 3-game losing streak and our last one having been over a month earlier against Greenwood. So, anyway, now with 13:38 to go in the first half, we got the marching band out here on the field. And so, at this time, you know, right now, I would like to do a preview, you know, to the playoffs, which for us start 2 weeks from tonight. For most teams in the state, they start next week. But, you know, ever since we moved to the six class floor mat here in Indiana High School football back in the 2013 season, where classes 6A and 5A have had approximately 32 teams, basically it's been, you know, most teams in those two classes have gotten a bye week, whereas most teams in the lower four classes have not. So anyway, Plainfield is in sectional 13. And thankfully, Cathedral, after a couple of consecutive state championships in 5A, has been forced to move up to Class 6A. So certainly that gives us a much better chance to get a to give Coach Woodard his elusive sectional championship here in his farewell season. And if you look at who we have in the sectional. On paper, in the rankings, it looks like Harrison is the best team. They're 7-1. They're ranked number 6 in 5A. They did beat us at Harrison back in week 2, 22-14. However, I'm not terribly I think they're overrated. I think their number 6 rating is overblown. They're ranked 2 positions higher than Franklin. I think Franklin is way better than Harrison. I think the people who are voting Harrison that high in the AP poll, I think they're just looking at the record and not looking at the, you know, the quality of their opponents. Harrison plays in the mediocre North Central Conference. I mean, you look at some of the teams they've beaten. Indianapolis Tech is really bad. Richmond, who they're playing tonight, is 0-8 on the year. Anderson, 3-5. They played McCutcheon, who's also in the sectional. They're really bad. Marion is also 0-8. So you look at it's not a real good body of work. You know, a lot of wins, but not a lot of, you know, impressive wins. And keep in mind, they only beat us by 8 last time. We took it down to the last play of the game. On the last play, we had it at their own 27. Hunter Newell's Hail Mary was intercepted, sealing the win for the Raiders. But, you know, I think if we can, you know, study the game tape and see what they did to beat us in that game and come up with an alternative game plan, you know, to counter, especially the way that they stifled our offense until the fourth quarter of the game, almost completely shut us down offensively, in fact, until the fourth quarter. I think, you know, we can really do a lot of good things. And we've had some guys like Isaiah Miller, Antonio Williams, really step up since then. And Noah Hessung has really started to, you know, as the season's progressed, come into his own in what Coach Woodard described as the wide back position, that is the hybrid of wide receiver and running back. So I really think, you know, especially if we take some momentum out of this game tonight and get a win, I think we're going to have a good shot to go up there and get that win 2 weeks from tonight. And then on the other side of the bracket, we have McCutcheon, who has had some decent teams in recent years, but it's only 2-6 this year, near the bottom of the North Central Conference. They lost to Harrison 38-3, easily the weakest of the four teams in the sectional. They will play next week at Decatur Central. The Hawks, having their worst team in over a decade. Last week they lost to Perry Meridian, in fact, 15-14. That was the same Perry Meridian who we beat back in week four by a score of 28-14 after leading 28-0 in the fourth quarter. So that's, so Decatur Central will open up against McCutchen. Obviously, we can be about 98% sure it will be a Decatur Central win. So if we win, it will set up a matchup against Decatur Central for the sectional championship. And let me see if, because I know that they update. I'm on John Harrell's Indiana High School Indiana High School webpage right now, which is it's a priceless treasure for us high school football media people. And so Decatur Central will be hosting the game. It does not say yet who will host the second round games, depending on the, every year within a few days of the sectionals, they'll have a list of, hypothetical second round matchups, who will host the game, if those two teams meet. So hopefully, if Plainfield does get the win at Harrison, they would host the sectional championship, but we shall see. We'll have to wait, I guess they'll announce that by the time of our next broadcast 2 weeks from tonight. So obviously we can win on the road or at home, but it would be great to play a sectional championship game at home. And regardless, I watched the tournament selection show on Monday or Sunday, and I watched it live, but it's up on the IHSAA webpage. It's archived there if you want to check it out. It's at ihsaatv.org. And I was really hoping that we would get McCutchen in the first round. The reason being, I think we have about a 50-50 shot to beat Harrison, a 50-50 shot to beat Decatur Central. Certainly Decatur Central would be running to get would be trying to avenge that loss that we gave them back in week six. It's like, we're going to be trying to avenge the loss to Harrison when we play him 2 weeks from tonight. My point is we'd have about a 50-50 shot to beat Decatur Central, about a 50-50 shot to beat Harrison. So, if we played McCutchen in the first round, then we'd only have to beat one of the two solid teams in the sectional to win the sectional championship. As it is now, unless McCutchen pulls off an amazing upset over Decatur Central, we'll have to beat both Harrison and Decatur Central. So, since I estimate we have about a 50-50 shot against either team, that means that we'd have about a 25% shot, a 1-4 shot to win the sectional, so which is not bad. I mean, last year we went into that game against Cathedral, and we had about a 99% shot to lose that game, and of course we did, 54-7 down at the University of Indianapolis there at Key Stadium. My son Liam usually sits with me in the press box during the broadcast. However, he's an elevator fanatic. He has an elevator channel on YouTube called it's Elevator Dude, so feel free to visit and subscribe. He'd be very honored if you did. He went around and filmed, how many elevators did you film at U of I that night, Liam? 12. 12 of, I think, 14 publicly accessible elevators there on campus? All the publicly accessible elevators. Yeah, he only got around that night. Took him about 3.5 hours, and then he joined me in the press box when I was doing the post-game show after that very painful loss. And I told him, if he was going to skip one game, that's the only time when I've ever taken Liam to a game where he didn't watch the game. I told him he picked a good game to take off because it was a painful game. But with that being said, we had nothing to be ashamed of. I mean, we were just completely overmatched. I mean, Cathedral has put at least 9 players in the NFL. I didn't count last year, but when I commentated them previously in 2013 when they played Zionsville in the playoffs, they had 31 active players in college football. I think 7 are rated Division 1A. And seriously, I mean, they're like a Division II or Division III college team. So, yeah, we played our hearts out. We just were super overmatched. So anyway, you know, like I said, I think we got about a 25% chance to win the sectional. We didn't get the draw, I hope, but we are in the weakest sectional we've been in our 8 years here in Class 5A. So the main thing is to take it, you know, one game at a time. And don't even think about beyond that. Just, you know, let's, after tonight, you know, come back to practice tomorrow morning, start thinking about Harrison. And then, you know, have, you know, 13 great days of practice. Well, probably a couple of days off, but have, you know, a bunch of good days of practice and then just come there, you know, ready to, you know, to tear it up and, you know, play the game of their lives, and stay alive and, especially to try to give Coach Woodard that send-off that he deserves to win a sectional championship. And then if we do that, anything else will be, you know, we'll be playing with house money at that point. Anything else will be a great bonus. Well, now with 3:35 on the halftime clock, I'd like to say a few words on an unusually extremely serious note. And I hope this is the appropriate point in the broadcast to do it. And this is it's a very awkward situation. You know, this is my 116th game as a varsity game as a high school football commentator, and I've never had anything personal like this deep to talk about. But anyway, this Tuesday, 3 days ago, October 11th, I experienced a loss like I've never experienced before. When my mother, Janice Wisherman Mitchell, died at her home at the age of 79, she had been generally a healthy person throughout her life. She was underweight, but she did, you know, remain very active. As recently as late spring, she was walking 4 to 6 miles a day, you know, taking hikes. Eagle Creek Park, I think, was her favorite place to go. And you know, that was when she took her hikes that she engaged in her hobby of nature photography, which is a hobby she just picked up, I think, in the last 10 years or so. And then, however, she, around June, started having leg pains. You know, she was struggling to walk. And I wasn't as aware of the problems, but my stepdad and brother were, and they advised her to go to a doctor. And she had this aversion to, you know, seeking medical treatment. She never went to a doctor. And then on August the 11th, she suffered a stroke. She was taken to a hospital, and she, for about 2 or 3 weeks, made significant progress. Within a week, she was able to walk with a walker. She was able to talk normally. You know, some people, they have strokes, and they're never able to speak normally again for the rest of their lives. But, you know, my mother was not only able to speak normally, but she was able to have fairly normal conversations. Sometimes she would struggle to remember a certain word or a certain fact. But she, you know, she was aware of her, you know, of her condition, and she expressed determination to regain full mental strength. And we were hopeful and at least semi-optimistic that she would, if not make a full recovery, at least get to the point that she was able to live a fairly normal life. But then she started deteriorating, and that led to the discovery that she had heart, liver, and kidney problems. And then on September 18th, the day before her 79th birthday, her doctor, in a teleconference with my stepfather, my brother, my uncle, and me, said that probably it had reached the point that the only thing they could do for her was make her comfortable. So she came home to live out the rest of her life, and my brother flew in from Los Angeles. He's lived in the Los Angeles area for 23 years now. And fortunately, he did get there while she was still alive, and it was only the second time in the last 20 years that my mother had been in the presence of both of her sons at the same time. And I emphasize that my brother and I have always, both of us have always maintained a good relationship with our mother, but, you know, we just lived so far apart, which was very hard on our mom. And even though by the time my brother got here, she was not able to communicate, we do believe that she was aware that we were both with her that both of her sons were with her, and she seemed to be content, and she seemed to be at peace, and that brought us comfort. And so anyway, you know, now that, you know, we got to move forward positively the best we can. There will not be a funeral. There will be a memorial service that we put Tuesday in Avon. It will be open to the public. And I wish I had a memorial donations selection right now. Unfortunately, I don't have that, but I'll give it to you at the next game if any of you would like to make a donation in her memory. But as for, you know, why am I doing this game tonight, you know, I think a lot of people probably would have taken the game off. For me, you know, we all have different ways that we handle things. And one thing that I've learned over the years is the tremendous importance of completing the grieving process, whether it's over a death or a broken relationship or anything that you're grieving about, anything that you're sad about. Because I've learned that the people who face and go through the grieving process recover so much faster and are able to live so much more peacefully than those who don't. And I know that from my own experience. And I didn't understand that until I underwent professional counseling when I was 32 years old because of some personal problems I was having. So I am going through the grieving process that will probably continue for months. But I also know the importance of balance and pacing yourself. And for more than 72 hours before I went on the air that night, I had thought and talked about almost nothing other than my mother's death, you know, and having conversations, calling different relatives across the country, you know, giving them the news and everything, you know. And after all that, I needed these 3 hours under the Friday Night Lights, these 3 hours to unwind and clear my head. And it has been very healing for me. And I am going to go back to grieving, you know, off and on. But I'm also going to try to, you know, balance the grieving with doing things that bring me joy. You know, one thing that I hope we've all learned for the last 2.5 years since March of 2020 is that mental health matters. And I think maybe the biggest failure of the coronavirus shutdowns is that they did not take into account the importance of mental health. So anyway, I do feel refreshed. I feel like, you know, some of my tension has been relieved since I've been here on the air and been watching this game. You know, sometimes you just have to take a break from all the sadness and all the tragedy in the world and just do something that you love for 2 or 3 hours, and that can bring you healing. And that's what's happening with me right now, you know, because there are very few things in life that I love more than commentating high school football here in my home state of Indiana, and especially commentating the Plainfield Quakers, the team that I've come to love as if I were a graduate of the school. So anyway, Mom, I love you. I hope you, Grandma, Grandpa, and Uncle Steve are all listening to the game tonight. And by the way, I am sure that if they are listening, I know my grandma's really excited that I'm commentating at the alma mater of John Wooden, who was one of her favorite sports figures, you know, because my grandmother was a diehard Purdue basketball fan because all three of her children went to the school. So anyway, now back to the second half action here. And it's a deep kick, and it's going to go into the end zone for a touchback again. So anyway, thank you all for bearing with me as I told that story. And anyway, so Plainfield now will be taking over at their own 20, trailing by 7, 8:33 your time of day. This is the last regular season game in the illustrious career of Brian Woodard, 17th season as head coach, 26th year on staff here at Plainfield. Only 48 years old, but he decided that this is it for him as the head coach. He is open to being an assistant coach at a small college. I suspect he might end up at DePaul, where his son Blake is currently playing as a freshman. So now Newell in shotgun, two receivers to the right, one to the left, takes the handoff, rolls to his right, got time, throws, and he's got a completion, and he makes the catch and gets out of bounds. That was Caden Vanderbush with his first reception of the game. So the clock stops 11:54, and let's see, do they give him credit for the first? No, not quite. He's a yard short. Nevertheless, a good catch there by Vander Bush. He will be a senior next year, and we will be counting on him to do a lot more after the loss of some of our seniors, such as Grant Irwin, Noah Hessling, and all that thought. Now, a handoff there, and we got the first down and maybe a yard more. So 11:48 to go. The Quakers off to a good start on this drive. So he's got 2 yards there. Okay, good job. Got what we needed. So anyway, so 2 receivers to the left now, 1 to the right. First and 10 for the Quakers up to 31. Screen pass now, and it is nearly intercepted. Boy, that was dangerous. He was trying to get Vander Bush by the sideline again. Nearly intercepted. Very lucky that it was not. So now that'll bring up 2nd and 10 for the Quakers at their own 31. 11:25 to go here in the third quarter, trailing Martinsville 14-7. We're very much in this game. The teams have never been separated by more than 7 points, but Plainfield, a couple of times they've given up a couple of big plays, which has been one of their 2 or 3 biggest Achilles heels on the season. And now we got a rush here over on the right side. He's going to be close to the first down. That was Noah Hessling there. So that's going to bring up 3rd and short, a very critical 3rd down for the Quakers. Only gave him credit for 5. I thought he got a little more than that, but anyway. So now I'll pitch back to Hessling again. And he spins around, and they push him up, and he's going to be about a yard or 2 short of the first down. Hessling with 17 carries. He's on pace to get his career high tonight. So they give him credit for 4, so that's 4th and 1 here. Will they go for it? No, apparently not. Boy, I hate to, squander the first possession of the half when we were down by 7. Coach Woodard's, his level of daringness is well above average, but I don't think that he would go for a fake here. It's a bad snap, but he does get it away, and it bounces inside the 30. But then, now takes a Plainfield bounce up to about the 26. So that will end up being a punt of 34 yards there for the Quakers. Now the pressure cranked up on the defense. We got to stop them. We cannot go down 2 possessions here. 9:53 to go here in the third quarter at Martinsville, about 30 miles southwest of Indianapolis. Alma mater of not only John Wooden, who I've mentioned a few times tonight, but also former Purdue and NBA basketball player Jerry Feasting, member of the Boston Celtics 1986 NBA championship team that featured Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, and Robert Parrish. So the Artesians now 1st and 10 at the 27, 9:53 to go here. Come on, boys, let's do this. High snap, but he gets it. Schrake gets the handoff, and he takes it up for about 2 or 3. The Quakers have the most consistently good aspect of the Quakers this year has been their rushing defense. Last week, however, we got torched with Whiteland's awesome 5-pronged attack. I don't think there are more than 2 or 3 teams, if that, in Class 5A who could even contain that amazing rushing offense. So now, he was open on the right side for a 12-yard reception. So the Artesians get a 1st down there. That was Skaggs there on the reception. We have contained, well, like I said, we've contained Braden Drake, their only significant running back tonight, and he's 7 for 21, not a dominant performance by any means. So now under 9 minutes to go in the third quarter, Martinsville gets the ball and a 7-point lead. Two receivers to the left, one to the right. Adkins and shotgun. And now, takes the handoff. And, now he's throwing out a man open downfield, but it's overthrown. Okay. Good break for us there. I have Adkins only 6 for 12, only half, completing over half of his passes, but for 167 yards, including that 72-yarder on the first play of the ensuing drive after we had just tied the game. So second and 10, let's get them off the field here, boys. Let's go for broke. Two receivers to the left, one to the right. Now the handoff to Shrake. He's got through on the left side. He's going to have the first down, more past the 45, up to about the 40, and he dives, gets up to about the 39. So that's going to be a gain of about 21 yards by Braden Shrake. That is his longest rush of the game by far. I had him only 21 yards on his first 7 carries. He got 21 on that carry alone. So first and 10 at the 39 for the Artesians. So two receivers to the right, one to the left. And now, okay, they got Shrake right at the line of scrimmage. They might give him forward progress for one. So good stop there. Let's get another one here, boys. Or better yet, another interception. So they're marking him down right at the line of scrimmage. Martinsville also had, they've also had a fumble that they recovered, but for a 6-yard loss, and they also had a bad snap that went over the head of the quarterback. So we've got to be ready to jump on any mistakes that come up. Second and 10 now, the Artesians at the 39. And now we've got two flags here. And the Quakers seem to think that, yeah, it's against the Martinsville. I believe that's only the third penalty against the Artesians of the whole game. So now second and 15. No excuses for not getting off the field on this possession, boys. We've got to be ready and not let them open. On the 72-yard reception, the guy was wide open. So two receivers now to the right, one to the left, straight to the running back. Tyler Adkins, one of the best quarterbacks in the state in shotgun, and now I believe that Martinsville has just taken its first time out of the second half. Yes, they have. With 7:17 to go. So at this time, we'll take a short pause for a few words from our sponsors, and then we'll be back here with more Plainfield football on audiosportsonline.com. Your score, Martinsville 14, Plainfield 7. This broadcast of Plainfield Quakers football was made possible by the generous donations of our sponsors. We would like to recognize and thank them for their generosity and encourage you to support them. CCD Contracting, Geodis, Ganell Financial, Julia Berber, Max Centerstone, Plainfield, Kyle Burnfield, Mortgage Lender, Flagstar Bank, Team Turley Fairway Mortgage, Bailey and Wood Financial Group, African Plum Home, MyITindy at MyITindy.com, I-70 Record Service and Garage, BGW Construction LLC, The Beacon Sign Company, Jeff Brown Photography, Karen Alexander Photography, and Whitlow Towing. Thank you, sponsors. Your support of the student athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Martinsville, we're about to resume play with 7:17 to go here in the third quarter. Martinsville leading Plainfield 14-7. The Artesian cut the ball second and 15 at the Plainfield 44. Three receivers to the left, one to the right. Tyler Adkins in shotgun. Braden Schrick, the running back. Now takes the handoff. The drops back. He's got time. Now he looks to rush, and he does so. He gets out of bounds for a gain of about 2. So that'll bring up third and about 13. And I'll tell you, this seems like a semi-soundproof visitor's press box here. So hopefully you all can hear me loud and clear. But, man, there's this crazy Quaker fan. And I mean crazy in the most complimentary way, of course. Who's making a heck of a lot of noise. you might be able to hear him. So anyway, third and 13. Come on, boys. You got to get him off the field here. make the play of your life. Atkins only 2 yards on that rush. Drops back, got time, throws up the middle, it is complete. But, you know, he's brought down shy of the 35, so it's going to be about 4th and 6 or so. Man, it sounds like we got a couple of crazy ones out there, actually. So 6 yards on the pass, and so that's going to bring up 4th and 7, and they're going to go for it. Oh, boy, this would be devastating if they got this here. 3 receivers with us on the right. Come on, boys. 6:42 to go and counting here in the 3rd quarter. Martinsville trying to take a 2-possession lead. Plainfield trying to stop him on 4th and 7 at the Plainfield 36. Drops back, pressured, throws downfield, and it is incomplete. It's incomplete. We take over on downs. All right. So Plainfield takes over, 1st and 10 at their own 36, trailing by 7, 6:27 to go in the 3rd quarter. Come on, boys. Let's tie this game up, or better yet, you know, if Coach Woodard's feeling really daring and goes for 2 and makes it, that's a great thing. So I have Atkins completing only 7 of 14 passes, but he's averaged just under 25 yards of completion. So when he's connected, it's really good. So now we've got 2 receivers to the right. 1 is left for the Quakers, I believe, that's testing back in there at running back under dual in shotgun. Takes it, hands off. This time they're ready for him. And I'll tell you, Hassling has not gotten many holes the last several plays. And he picks up, I think they got him down for minus 1 there. So I think maybe they've gone to the well 1 too many times with Hassling. Maybe they'll just send him out on some passing routes. He's, you know, done very well at wide receiver when he's played that position. Of course, he's played it exclusively for 3 years before alternating between the two this year. So 2nd and 11 now for the Quakers. And now Newell throws deep down the right side for Irwin. And I think, boy, that looked like it should have been pass interference to me. Unfortunately, no flag. He was under double coverage, but still had a shot at the ball. You know, I wish we had a replay here in high school ball, instant replay, because that's the one that I'd like them to take another look at. So now 3rd and 11 at their own 35, very critical play for the Quakers. Now in the latter half of the 3rd quarter, still trailing by 7. Neither team is, the teams have never been separated by more than 7. So now 3 receivers from the right. Low snap, and he gets it, rolls to his right. And he's under pressure. He's got to get rid of it. And now he just runs out of bounds for a loss. So 5:35 to go. It's going to be 4th and long. Presumably the Quakers will punt with the ball only about at their own 31. But, boy, I don't like that no call. And if you listen to me regularly, you know that I very, very rarely criticize officiating. Very rarely. That's a 4-yard loss there by Newell. Nevertheless, he gave a great effort looking for a man open and, you know, avoiding the sack at least. So now the punt, it's not very good. It bounces inside, Quaker territory, but does roll past the 50. Nevertheless, it's only going to be about a 22 or 23-yard punt. The Artesians will take over at about the Martinsville 47, 5:22 to go. So now we really need to not only get the ball back without Martinsville scoring, but we got to, you know, get it back fast. Hopefully no worse than a 3-and-out. It's not a turnover here. We do have an interception, only the 5th interception thrown by Tyler Atkins all season. Keep in mind, by the way, that Hunter Newell, except for two Hail Marys, has not thrown an interception since week 3 against Mooresville. He threw 3 interceptions in the first 7 games, but none since. So now 2 receivers to the left, 1 to the right for the Artesians. Atkins takes it. Now we got a reverse here, and he's got close to the first down here. He gets up to about the 46. So it was a way to catch him off guard there because I couldn't even tell who that was for the Artesians, but he picked up seven there. Like I said, Shrake and Addison are the only two Quakers with more than three receptions on the season coming to the side. He breaks through, and he could go all the way, and he will. Oh, no, we did bring it down around the one. So Shrake takes it from the 45, takes it 45 yards up. Oh, no. No, he's got it the one. So now first we go with the one for the Quakers. Yeah. Yeah, we got to stop them here, you know. Otherwise, we're down by, you know, two possessions with now 4:27 to go here in the third quarter. And if we take a two-possession, go into, you know, the last third of the game with a two-possession deficit, our margin for error is nearly zero. And it's the same story, you know, as always, you know, tough finishing drives. Although we stopped them there for a loss. All right. All right. So, So we got him for a sack there for, and they had, I thought he was down at the one, it ended up only being at the three. So now it's second and goal at the six. So now we got a real shot here to, we got a real shot here to hold them, you know, with that, at least without a touchdown. They do have a great kicker in, Handline, who's, 30 of 31 on the yard, extra points. Now they throw it to the end zone, and I think it's, did he make it? No. I couldn't. It was on the far side of the field. I think he caught it out of bounds. So now all of a sudden, first and goal at the three turns to third and goal at the six. That's a little more comfortable. We got to finish the job here, though. 3:34 to go here in the third quarter. Martinsville, 14. Plainfield 7, however, the Artesians have the ball third and goal at the 6, although it was previously first and goal at the 3 just a couple of plays ago. Two receivers to each side now, one running back. High snap, but he gets it. Throws into the end zone, and it is... it was incomplete. I could not tell from my vantage point. Not only is it the far side of the field, but it's very dark over there. So now fourth and six. So Ethan Handline under attempt hit only his fourth field goal. It's only his fourth field goal attempt of the season. He's only 1 for 3, but his make was from 35. This was from 23, so obviously this is well within his range. At least, you know, and now a high snap, and he gets it, and it is up, and it is... It is good. So, with 3:26 to go, Plainfield goes down by two possessions. At least it's not by two touchdowns. That is the first score here of the second half coming with 3:26 to go. Yeah, they hit a field goal. So, a 23-yard field goal by Ethan Handline, his second field goal of the season. And, you know, that's certainly one of the big differences between high school ball and higher levels, you know. I don't think you'd ever get any NFL team to the ninth game of the season without, you know, with only two combined field goals on the season between the two teams. Plainfield has the no field goals on the season, only attempted one. I remember when I was commentating Cascade one time, they made a field goal in a game I was commentating, and it was their first field goal in 2 years. And of course, there are, you know, teams that go for the 2-point conversion all or most of the time. But it's all the more reason why, you know, if you're growing up and you want to play football, learn to be a kicker. And now it goes deep into the end zone. They said he was standing at the one when he caught it, so Plainfield will take over at the 20. But I'll tell you, if you want to be a kicker, try to find this video. I don't know if it's online or not. You can at least order it. But it's called The Art of Soccer Style Kicking by Jan Stinnerud. That's The Art of Soccer Style Kicking by Jan Stinnerud. The name's spelled J-A-N like jam, except it's pronounced Jan. and then Stenerud, S-T-E-N-E-R-U-D. He was the first kicker to make the Hall of Fame, not counting George Blanda, who was also a quarterback. But Jan Stenerud was the first kicker to make the Hall of Fame who did not play another position. And he was a native of Norway, and he was on the ski jumping team at Montana State and did not know anything about American football. And hold on, hold that thought. So now two receivers to the left, one to the right for the Quakers, one running back. Now we got a reverse of our own, and he's got the room on the right side, and he's got close to the first down there. So that was Grant Irwin playing his final regular season high school game. He gets 9 there, his first rush of the game. I often mention he and my son Liam were third grade classmates at Chapelwood Elementary. And now Grant Irwin, you know, hoping to play college ball next year after a breakthrough senior season. Now a handoff, we got the first down and more. I believe that was testing there. I'd like to see Antonio Williams get some more carries though. Especially because they seem to have Hessling's number in the last few plays. He didn't get much more on that play than, you know, what he needed. He got two there. So it's first and 10 at the 31, so we got to keep the, and now a, keeper there, and he gets up for about 3. That was, you know, try to catch him off guard. That was a direct snap to Hessling there, by the way. Hessling now, by my count, with 20 carries. And now pitch back. And now it throws deep downfield. He's got a man up. It is caught by, it's going to be for about a 30-yard pickup there. That was Antonio Williams there on the long reception. All right. That moves up to the 35, so that's a gain of about 31 yards there. And now, we got a flag here, maybe. I think the Quakers moved, I think they broke some sort of rule in trying to rush the playoff and catch Martinsville off guard. Nevertheless, that 36-yard pickoff was very important for us. And now pitch back there. And now he's up for about 3 or 4. That was Noah Hessling again. So you got basically back to 5 that we lost. So 2nd and 10 for the Quakers at the 30. And now hands off to Newell, and this time he's up for about 5 or 6, so it'll bring up 3rd and short. So 3rd and 4 now for Plainfield. You got to get this very critical area to get with Hessling again. He goes up the middle, then switches right, and I think he's got it, but we got a flag, so will it count? Will it count? If this is it's against the Quakers, so now we're in big trouble. 51.8 seconds to go in the third quarter, excuse me. Let's see where they mark it here. Okay, 3rd and 14 at the 34 now. 43 seconds to go on counting. Low snap, and Newell gets it. A pass, it's complete, and he's tackled inside the 25. So it's going to be, that was Isaiah Miller there with a pickup of about 8 there. Miller, 4 receptions for 66 yards by my count. So now a very critical 4th and 4 for the Quakers. 3 receivers to the right, 1 to the left, 10 seconds to go to the quarter. They might let the clock run down and hope that they'll draw the Artesians offside. And I am, so let's see. So that's it. So your Playfield Quakers, 4th and 4 at the Martinsville 24, down by 10 points when we start the 4th quarter. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors on audiosportsonline.com. This broadcast of Playfield Quakers football was made possible by the generous donations of our sponsors. We would like to recognize and thank them for their generosity and encourage you to support them. CCB Contracting, Geodesist, Gannell Financial, Julia Berberich, Remax Centerstone Plainfield, Kyle Burnfield, Mortgage Lender, Plant Star Bank, Team Turley Fairway Mortgage, Bailey and Wood Financial Group, African Plum Home, MyITIndy at MyITIndy.com, I-70 Record Service and Garage, BGW Construction LLC, The Beacon Sign Company, Jeff Brown Photography, Karen Alexander Photography, and Whitlow Towing. Thank you, sponsors. Your support for the student athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Martinsville, we're about to start the 4th quarter of this regular season finale with your Plainfield Quakers trying to hang on and make a comeback win over the Martinsville Artesians. Plainfield trails 17-7. The Quakers now have the ball 4th and 4 at the Artesian 24. So now they line up Chris Stevens, Grant Irwin, and Isaiah Miller to the right. Noah Hessing, I believe, is still the running back in there. Hunter Newell in shotgun. Takes a snap, rolls to his right, and we got a flag. And I'll tell you, these fans, even with the doors closed, and listen, this is going to be against Plainfield. So, yeah, it's 5 yards against the Quakers. But, man, I'll tell you, it's starting to become a point where some of these people yelling at the officials are becoming a distraction. It's becoming a distraction. And, you know, I think you have to find a balance between expressing displeasure, but at the same time being respectful and being considerate of, you know, the other fans and of the people listening at home. So 3 receivers to the right, 1 to the left, low snap, but he gets it. We need 9 yards here. Newell pursued, and now he's got to do something. He runs with it up to the 25, and he makes it. The ball comes out. And Plainfield is saying that they recovered for the first down, but let's see what Newell was rushing for the first down, and he was close to it, and the ball came out. He got it. I didn't think he did. All right. So we're in business here. So they're giving him credit for 10 yards on that keeper. He also had a rushing touchdown earlier on a quarterback sneak. So 1st and 10, at the 18th, so he got even a better spot than I thought he got out I thought they would mark him at the 20, so they marked him at the 18th. So the Quakers are in the red zone, and Plainfield takes, I believe, its first time out of the half with 11:24 to go. So, anyway, the Quakers now 18 yards away from making this a one-possession game early here in the 4th quarter, 11:24 to go. Plainfield at 3-5. They lost their first 3 games of the season, won their next 3. Now they've lost their last 2, trying to avoid going into the playoffs 2 weeks from tonight on a 3-game losing streak. Meanwhile, Martinsville entering this game at 6-2, ranked number 9 in the state in Class 4A, one class below us. They did lose last week in overtime to Mooresville, currently the number 10 ranked team in the class, by a score of 37-31 in overtime. But the capstone of the Artesian season so far, and probably will be, you know, unless they make a super deep playoff run, was their week 6 victory over Whiteland, who at the time was the number 1 ranked team in Class 5A. And so now, the Quakers now back to action here. three receivers to the right, one to the left. Newell there, and now a hands off to Heffing there, and he's got a hole at the middle, and he could go all the way, and he does! Touchdown! Yes! Noah Heffing, 18 yards, and the Quakers are within one possession. All right. You know, in the first half I was saying that, you know, while Heffing was getting some decent gains, you know, we needed to get some big plays. And finally we got one right there. So now the score, Martinsville 17, Plainfield 13 with a conversion pending. Now Cameron Grimes on the extra point. Snap is good. The kick is up and it is good. So now all of a sudden after, making his first 16 extra points, missing his next four, now Cameron Grimes has hit his last four. And the Quakers cut the lead to 3, 11:20 to go in the game. Let's do this, boys. Let's do this. An 18-yard touchdown pass by Noah Heffing, set up by a 4th-and-9 conversion on an 11-yard rush by a quarterback, Hunter Newell. Definitely a key play. And I'll tell you, as many 3rd-and-longs as we've given up this year, boy, did it feel good to convert on a 4th-and-long under such a high-pressure situation like that. So Noah Heffing playing his last regular season high school game. Hopefully he has multiple games left after tonight. It depends on what the Quakers do 2 weeks from tonight up at Harrison. So now the Quakers set up the kick. Goes deep. And is fielded at about the 8, right up to the 15, the 20, 25, stays on his feet, is really showing a lot of toughness, and the referee blows the whistle around the 27 or 28. My son Liam, you know, my kids, despite my sports zeal, my kids have not shown much interest in sports over the years until Liam started really coming to these games with me the last 2 years and really getting into it. And he's starting to learn more about the game, and, you know, he really has a lot of fun, and I hope he'll continue going to the thing for many years. He really enjoys it a lot. So 2 receivers to the left, 1 to the right. And so he stopped them, you know, right around the line of scrimmage. That's good. So now we got to push them into 3rd-and-long. So they give them credit for 1 yard there. So 2nd-and-9 for the Artesians at the 30, 10:45 to go, and counting. Martinsville up by 3. Plainfield, we need to get the ball back and get the lead here. We cut it to 3 on an 18-yard touchdown rush by Noah Heffing. And now fakes the handoff. The timing was off on the pass. He faked the handoff to Schrake, threw up the middle, and I think there was just a little confusion. I think the receiver thought the ball was going to, you know, be a little closer to him. They were just a little bit out of sync there. So now a very big 3rd-and-9. God, we got to get him off the field here. Come on, boys. Come on, get him. And he throws deep down the left, and it's way overthrown. All right, so 4th-and-9. So barring, you know, some sort of, you know, major, I don't think they're going to go for a fake in this situation this far back. So now, assuming they go through with the punt, we will get the ball with over 10 minutes to play, trailing only by 3. Come on, boys, let's do this. Let's finish the season in style. Let's go up to Harrison 2 weeks from tonight with momentum, knowing that we can come back, you know, from a multiple possession deficit, you know, on the road against a very good team. And now it kicks and it goes out of bounds around the 38. So Plainfield takes over at their own 38, 10-19 to go in the game, trailing by three. Let's do this, boys. Play with the eye of the tiger. Well, wait. Okay. Well, now they're showing it says 30 on the scoreboard, but the ball is clearly lying at the 43, so let's see what's going to happen. Oh, maybe there is a penalty. I didn't see the flag, but... Oh, personal foul. Okay, all right. So now we're way into Artesian territory at the 42. Now we've got to take advantage of this. 10-19 to go in the game. We're only 42 yards away. Don't screw this up, boys. Don't screw it up. Let's finish this game in style. Go into go up there to Harrison with momentum, having gotten a very high-quality road win against the ranked team. So now, I believe that Tessling gets up the middle of about three or four. And this PA announcer here, by the way, he consistently pronounces a Hestong with the accent on the second syllable rather than the first. Just like I remember last year, the Decatur Central PA announcer referred to Juan Diego the third as Nico. Three receivers to the right, one to the left. And now Newell got plenty of time, rolls to his right, looks downfield, and now he rolls again, and then throws downfield. He's got a man open, but it is incomplete. I believe that was Miller, the intended receiver. He stayed on his feet a long time, got rid of it, wished they would have gotten a completion there. Now a very big 3rd and 6 coming up for the Quakers. I have Newell in this game. 12 of 18 for 174 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Both Quaker touchdowns are come on rushes, quarterback sneak by Newell and an 18-yard rush by Heston. Very big 36 for the Quakers at the Artesian 38, though they are in four-down territory. I don't want it to come down to fourth down. So three receivers to the right, one to the left. Heston gets it. This time he's up for a bounce four, so it's going to be fourth and very short. But, man, we've got to do this. I mean, we got a good shot to do it, but I just hate that it hinges on this. Very, very big 4th and 2. Come on, boys. And we got it. We got it. That was Vanderbush there. All right, we got a fresh set of downs here. So a 5-yard pickup there by Caden Vanderbush. Good job, Caden. First and 10 at the 29 for the Quakers, 8:55 to go. Newell rolls. Completion. He's got it inside the 20, and he dives still to about the 15. All right, in the red zone. So now, first and 10, they get a yard more than I thought. So now, first and 10 for the Quakers at the 14. Three receivers to the left, one to the right, one running back, Newell and shotgun. Gives it to Hessling. He's up the middle, and he goes all the way. Oh, he's got the lead. Yes! Yes! Noah Hessling, 14 yards for the touchdown. And the Quakers go up 20-14 with the conversion pending. Oh, my God. What a courageous comeback. Now we've got to finish the job. It would be devastating to lose this now. Noah Hessling, his final regular season high school game, coming up with 2 touchdowns in the 4th quarter. He moved to running back part-time this season after previously playing and now the extra point by Grimes is up, and it is good. We got a 4-point lead, 8:20 to go. Let's finish the job, boys. Let's finish the job. So 2 touchdowns exactly, 2 rushing touchdowns, 18 and 14 yards, exactly 3 minutes apart by Noah Hessling. Now, the good thing is now the pressure is on, is, There's a lot of pressure on their defense. We know they're probably going to throw. We've got to be ready for it. We've got to take away the big play. And because it's a four-point lead, it means that, you know, with a field goal, we still have the lead if they were to get a field goal. Come on, boys. Let's finish this. Finish the job. Just finish it. So now the Quakers, 8:20 to go in the game, kicking off. They started up with the quarter down 17-7. Now they're up 21-17. It's another deep kick, and it goes out of bounds. So I don't like that, giving the Artesians the ball at the 35. I don't like that. Puts a little more pressure on the defense than I'd like, but just got to come through, boys. Oh, my God. What a game. Win or lose, it's a great regular season finale. But, man, we need to win this game so much to get that momentum going into the playoffs 2 weeks from tonight at Harrison. So now the Artesians start the ensuing drive. Two receivers to the left, one to the right. Big stand up to Shrake. And it is kept. Oh, God. That would have been awesome if we intercepted it. Nevertheless, 2nd and 10 for the Artesians. Adkins only seven for 16. Does have 173 yards. No touchdowns and one interception. Only his 5th of the season. So now, come on, put the pressure on, boys. Low snap, but he gets it. He's pursued. And come on, let's get him. And now he throws it desperately. Did he make the catch? No. So 3rd and 10. All right. So 8:08 to go. We got him in a 3rd and 10 hole. No excuses for not getting him off the field here. I give Adkins a lot of credit for scrambling and getting rid of it and nearly making the completion. And which would have been about 30 yards or so had he made it. So I hated that, you know, the kickoff went out of bounds, giving Martinsville the ball at the 35 with this very good passing offense spearheaded by one of the best quarterbacks in the state, Tyler Adkins. But now the Quakers stomping on the bleachers, making a lot of noise. There are 3 receivers to the left, 1 to the right, 1 running back. Adkins with the snap. He's pressured. And we got a first back. Yes. All right. So it's going to be 4th and about 17 now. Oh, we got a flag. Oh, my God. I hope it's not against us. Oh, it's against them. All right. So I assume that'll be penalty decline. And so that means a likely punt by the Artesians. And, man, we got the eye of the tiger here. It is a killer instinct. You know, we're playing like, you know, playing like we know what's at stake. You know, going into the playoffs with, you know, losing your last 3 games, even all 3 to ranked teams, top 10 teams, it's not a good feeling. It's not good for morale. Let's, you know, finish the season with a high-quality win, the regular season. And now it's a punt, and it bounces at about the 40. Takes a long, wow, long marginal bounce, over 20 yards worth of bouncing. It's down to about the 14. So now what we got to do is just keep the clock and the chains moving. No mistake. Just play your A game. I said at halftime, if we had no turnovers in the second half, that, you know, that I thought we would have a good shot to win. So let's just keep it up. It's ours to lose now. Let's just go in for the kill. So now let's see I don't know what the situation is here. Are they doing a re-kick? Looks like they're going to do a re-kick. So they're going to now, okay. They turned off the music, so hopefully they're going to, you know, announce what the call is here. I did not see a flag. But apparently they're going to have to re-punt from further back, which is fine with me. So Martinsville showing signs of self-destructing here after they played very well fundamentally for the first three quarters. So now the punter standing right at the goal line. Boy, it'd be great if we got a block and a touchdown recovery over at least the safety here. And we're going for it. He does get it off, but it bounces. And it still takes a really good bounce and goes out of bounds just shy of the playing field 40 for the Quakers. Take over in solid field position, 7:39 to go, and the lead. This is the first time we've had the lead in the ball all game. Boy, I'll tell you, the kind of week I've had before, this game is doing me a lot of good tonight. Yep, like Liam said, thunderstruck by AC/DC. This guy has an appreciation for the classics. Yeah, the AC/DC is from Australia, though many of their members were born in the United Kingdom. Yeah, they're based in Australia, but the Young Brothers and some of the other, I think Brian Johnson as well are all from the UK. So anyway, now I believe it's testing there. It takes it up the middle about 3 or 4. And there, my son Liam, you might have just heard his pretty good Brian Johnson impression. And so anyway, so 2nd and 6 now for the Quakers, 7:15 to go in the game, playing field leading 21-14. They took the lead in this quarter on 2 touchdown rushes of 18 and 14 yards by Noah Hessen, playing the final regular season game of his career, though not the final game overall. We've got the playoffs starting in 2 weeks. Now another handoff there to Hessen, and he's hit. He spins around and then falls down about the 49. So he's about 2 or 3 yards short of the first down. What a whale of a game. He has 28 carries now by my count. A very big 3rd and 3. 6:30 to go and counting. We got to get this conversion because that can enable us to run a few more minutes off the clock. So now makes that off. Well, so Hessling did get it after all. But he's brought down around the line of scrimmage, so it's 4th and 3. The Quakers apparently will punt. Hopefully we'll get it really deep in Martinsville territory. 6:04 to go now. Let's just let the clock run down as much as we can. So now, the Quakers set the punt. Now they go for the fake. Oh no. Oh, what were they thinking? Oh no. I have no idea what that was all about. Maybe he thought he was going to get hit. Luke Starnes there, number 17 with the ball. It looked like he was afraid he was going to get hit. And, just maybe he was just trying to avoid the block and thought he could get the putt off, but he was stacked at the 34. So now, boy, that is potentially a game loser. The first big mistake that the Quakers have made in this half, and it could cost them the game. Hopefully not. 2 receivers to the right, 1 to the left. And now, screen pass. And it is up for about 5 yards or so. 5:28 to go and counting. I think that Martinsville still has all 3 timeouts. But boy, that play there, and they give him credit for 7, a little more than I thought. So 2nd and 3 for the Artesians. Now, handoff there, and I believe the Drake is going to be very close to the first down. He might have it. You know, they say yes. thought it would at least be with the yards, but now the clock stops to move the chains with 5:02 to go. Boy, this would be devastating to lose this. And if we lose this game now, we'll have nobody to blame but ourselves. So first and 10 at the 23. Straight pull for 90 by my count. And now the snap and throws into the end zone for the touchdown, and it's incomplete. So second and 10 now for the Artesians at 3:23, trailing 21-17. And again, because it's a four-point lead, a field goal would not, Martinsville would likely not attempt a field goal here, even though they have a good kicker in Ethan Handline, because even if they hit a field goal, they would still trail by one. Come on, let's just make a big play here, boys. And now, screen pass. And we, okay, it's caught, but he's hit for a loss, so bringing up third and long. All right, we were ready for him. Perfect timing on that. So that's going to be a 2-yard loss there. Third and 12 now. Boy, this would be devastating. We've got to get them off the field here. Of course, they are in fourth down territory. Fans stopping on the bleachers. Playing field trying to hang on for the win. They lead by four, but Martinsville with the ball, third and 12 at the playing field 25. Two receivers to each side now. One running back, Atkins in a shotgun. 7 seconds to go. He's looking to the sideline four on the play clock 2-1. And I don't, did they get it off? And now he's pressured, but he gets a screen pass, and he takes it up. He's going to be close to the first down. He got it. So, yeah, that's, oh, my God. Or did he, no, or are they marking him short? Because I saw them move the, no, he didn't. So they gave him credit for 9 there. So, fourth and 3, five, the 16, the Artesians going for it. Will they take a timeout? 17 on the play clock. Atkins look over to the sidelines. Now look back, you know, it gets information. 12 on the play clock. And now he takes it and throws to his right. He's pressured. And got a first step. Yes! 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 Oh, my God! Oh, my God! they don't make it easy on our hearts, but we sure love them. Oh, my God. The play field takes over on downs with a 4-point lead, 3:06 to go. This one's ours to lose. We played that last play, that botched punt, you know, made it look like we were trying to give the game. Oh, no, we've got a player who's down. I believe that's Atkins there. He did get hit pretty hard. But, yeah, that defense, our defense has come through with some really big plays there. You know, when it was 3rd and 12 and they made it 3rd and 12, they made it 4th and 3. I did get worried, but man. And now the injured player is walking off the field, groggily, but he's getting a nice ovation. Never want to see anybody get hurt from either team. But yeah, that was an awesome sack there. We come up with, you know, several big stops. And now, God, just don't screw this up. Don't screw it up. You know, we get about 2 first downs, we can probably run off the clock. Yeah, the Quakers don't always make it easy on our hearts, but we sure love them. And then, by the way, that was a 5-yard rush, 5-yard loss there on that sack of Atkins. So now a hand up there by Heflin, and he breaks the tackle, and he gets up to about the 21, so it's going to be... Or 31, excuse me. I think he's got the first down. If not, he's going to be within a yard or so. So let's see. So second and 1. So Heflin picks up 9. I have him a whopping 30 carries for 153 yards and 2 touchdowns. Both touchdowns coming in this quarter. So second and 1 for the Quakers. Two receivers to the right now. One running back. Gives a passing again. He's got the first and about 3 or 4 more. So 2:18 to go. And what I hope we'll see now is that Martinsville starts using its timeouts. So 3 yards there by Noah Hessing. 2:12 to go and counting. We got a first down. One more first down. We might be able to run out the rest of the clock. Come on, boys. .152-7 on the play clock, so it's good reason to go out of the play clock now. Testing again. He's up. He doesn't get much this time, maybe a yard. And I believe Martin Phillips just taken a timeout. I believe that's their first. I could be wrong. They don't list the timeouts on the scoreboard there, as Heslung is credited there with no gain. I have him 32 for 156 and 2 touchdowns. Those both coming, you know, exactly 3 minutes apart here in the fourth quarter of 18 and 14 yards to take the Quakers from a 17-7 deficit to a 21-17 lead, which is our current score, 144 to go and counting. Let's just finish the job, boys. This would be absolutely devastating to lose at this point. So anyway, this is definitely one of the most intense games I've ever commentated. Last year's game with Martinsville on our senior day was a classic. But I think this was even better. We won that one on a goal line stand at the one, where we made an incredible stop near the end to, you know, to win the game. So two receivers now to the right. Low snap! Oh my God, we got to get, okay. Good awareness by Hunter Newell. It was a bad snapping miss, so now, and Martinsville takes time out. I believe that's their second, so now it's going to be third and very long. So on this play, God, you know, we almost have to go for a rush so that, you know, we can hopefully run the clock down to, you know, under a minute before punting away. That's a 12-yard loss there. So now, I'll tell you, even if we hang on to win, we got to look at the two major mistakes that we made in the game. First was that apparently, I think the punter, he probably felt like he was going to, you know, that the punt was going to get blocked, so he tried to find some room. I think that's likely what happened. I'll let Coach Woodard explain on his show, just like he explained a lot on this week's show. That is, hold that thought. But anyway, so now the Quakers, 3rd and 22, they have two receivers. I believe that's still Heslung in there at running back. 1:39 to go. 20 on the play clock. Plainfield leading 21-17 with 1:39 to go. And now a run, and a doesn't get much out of it. He gets up about 3 or 4 yards. And I believe that was I think that was Isaiah Miller there on the rush. He doesn't get, I think they got him down actually for minus one, but the Quakers are letting the clock run down as much as they can. Apparently the Artesians are out of timeouts. They don't list the timeouts on the scoreboard here, so Plainfield will likely let the play clock run down to 51 seconds when there'd be about 1 second on the, when there'd be about 51 seconds left in the game, and then take the timeout and then punt. 3, 2, 1. So the Quakers take a timeout, 51.9 seconds to go. So when we resume play, Plainfield will have the ball, 4th and 23 at their own 21, leading 21-17, excuse me. So they will need to get a good punt off. And then just, you know, with Martinsville having no timeouts, they'll have very little margin for error. So we just got to take away the big play. And because it's a 4-point lead, Martinsville will have to go for the touchdown. They won't be able to settle for a field goal. Man, it's, you know, odds are we're going to win this one, but, man, it's going down to the wire. So, you know, I'm nervous, but, you know, man, this is what sports are all about, you know, and, you know, no matter how no matter how bad things are going in your life, there's nothing like just taking 2 or 3 hours and watching a game and forgetting about all the problems of the world. We all need to do that now and then. And not necessarily, but in sports, whatever that you love, whether it's music or horseback riding or, you know, going to museums, we need to just take a break from tension every once in a while. Although sometimes, you know, if you're a sports fan, you end up in tense games, but, you know, that's a better kind of tension. So, all right, Quakers, you set the punt here. The punter standing at the 8. Hopefully this will go smoothly. It's not a real good punt, but bounces at the 40, takes a good play field bounce. And now it goes past the 50, and a Martinsville player took it at the 47, but he was tackled immediately. So 43, and that ran off, by the way, 8.8 seconds. So the Artesians will take over. They're marking it at the 47. So now this is all on the defense here. Both the offense and the defense have done a lot of great things here tonight. So we got 43.1 seconds to stop them from going 53 yards with no timeouts. Come on, boys. Oh, was there a penalty against Marshall? So they're marking it because backed it up 5 yards to the 42 now. All right. So, a net punt of, you know, wasn't a very pretty looking punt, but it does, you know, have the net effect of a 37-yarder. So three receivers to the left, one to the right. Active. We pressure him. Dodges a sack. Now he throws deep down to the left side, and is it? Did he get it? Interception! We're going to win it! Oh, my God! Only the sixth interception thrown by Tyler Atkins. Tyler Atkins on the season for the second tonight. Oh, my God, the Quakers. I don't know if they even had two interceptions on the season coming in tonight. Let me look at this. But let's see here. We had two interceptions, both by Carter Ferguson coming into tonight. We have two interceptions tonight. So, all right, so we're running up the clock now. 28 seconds to go. We don't have to run another play. Oh, my God. So, the Playfield Quakers trail going into the fourth quarter, but then they just come out and they just kick total donkey here and threaten to give the game away a couple of times, but they come through when it matters most and get out of here with a huge, huge, huge regular season ending 21-17 win on the road over the Martinsville Artesians. We'll be back with a recap and a look ahead to the playoff opener 2 weeks tonight at Harrison after these final words from our sponsors on audiosportsonline.com. This broadcast of Plainfield Quakers football was made possible by the generous donations of our sponsors. We would like to recognize and thank them for their generosity and encourage you to support them. CCB Contracting, Geodis, Gunnell Financial, Julia Berberich, Remax Centerstone Plainfield, Kyle Burnfield Mortgage Lender Flagstar Bank, Team Purley Fairway Mortgage, Bailey and Wood Financial Group, African Plow Home, MyITND at MyITND.com, I-70 Record Service and Garage, BGW Construction LLC, Beacon Sign Company, Jeff Brown Photography, Karen Alexander Photography, and Whitlow Stowing. Thank you, sponsors. Your support of the student athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Martinsville for a final time tonight, where your Plainfield Quakers have just gotten a huge victory, beating the Martinsville Artesians in thrilling comfort behind fourth quarter fashion by a score of 21-17. It's a game in which Martinsville got the ball first, and converted on after it was 3rd and 16. They made it 4th and 2 and then got a first down before throwing an interception later on the drive. Only the fifth interception on the season for their star quarterback, Tyler Adkins. However, then Plainfield on the ensuing drive got inside the red zone but turned it over on downs, thanks in part to 2 penalties totaling 20 yards. Finally, in the second quarter, the Artesians opened the scoring on a 3-yard touchdown pass from Tyler Adkins. The extra point by Ethan Handline was good, making it 7-0. Plainfield did strike back on the ensuing drive, consuming 5.5 minutes and culminating with a 1-yard quarterback sneak by quarterback Hunter Newell. Cameron Grimes was good on the extra point, making it 7-7. However, on the first play of the ensuing drive for Martinsville, a 72-yard pass from Adkins set up another three-yard touchdown pass, his second 3-yard touchdown pass of the second quarter with 2:01 remaining. The extra point by Handline was good, making it 14-0. And then with 3:25 to go in the third quarter, Ethan Handline connected on a 23-yard field goal, his second field goal of the season, and that gave Martinsville for the first time in the game a two-possession lead at 17-7. However, then Plainfield turned on the eye of the tiger. Just a moment here. Then Plainfield on the ensuing drive turned on the eye of the tiger. They went down methodically, and then with 11:20 to go in the fourth quarter, Noah Hessing scored on an 18-yard touchdown rush that was set up by an 11-yard rush by Hunter Newell on 4th and 9. And then exactly 3 minutes later, with 8:20 to go, Hessing scored this time on a 14-yard rush. Cameron Grimes was good on both extra points, meaning that he's now made 5 in a row since he missed 4 in a row after hitting his first 16. On Plainfield's next possession, when they were ready to punt, the punter apparently was trying to avoid a blocked punt, and he rushed to try to escape, but he was sacked, giving the Grizzly Cubs the ball, I believe, at the 34. However, they ended up turning it over on downs, and then Plainfield on its next possession nearly had a disaster when on second and ten, a low snap resulted in a 12-yard loss, and then they ended up punting on that possession. However, on Martinsville's ensuing possession, Adkins threw only his second interception of the game, only his 6th of the season, versus 19 touchdowns. Turn it off until after the broadcast. On Martinsville's ensuing possession after the punt, Adkins threw only his 6th interception of the season, but his 2nd of the game versus 19 touchdowns. And then Plainfield ran off the clock from there, winning by a score of 21-17. A look at the individual statistics. Hunter Newell had arguably the best game of his career. He did not throw a touchdown pass, but he was very efficient, completing, by my count, 14 of 20 passes for 194 yards. No touchdowns, but no interceptions either. So after throwing only 2 interceptions versus after throwing only 2 touchdowns but 7 interceptions through the first 3 games, he over the last 6 throws 9 touchdowns and only 2 interceptions, and both interceptions come with an asterisk as they came on Hail Marys. There should be a separate category for that. For receiving, Isaiah Miller had 4 receptions for 68 yards. Grant Irwin 4 for 27. Antonio Williams 2 for 51, Noah Hessling 1 for 16, Chris Stevens 1 for 15, Caden Vanderbush 1 for 9, and Brandon Hendry Brandon Hendry, 1-4. Gosh, that's a hard name to say. On the ground, Noah Hessing, 32 rushes for 156 yards, both career highs and 2 touchdowns. Hunter Newell, 5-15 and a touchdown. Antonio Williams, 3-10. Grant Irwin, 1-9. And Isaiah Miller, 1-1. So in conclusion, you know, this is a game where the Quakers, they played a B game in the first half. They would have led at the half if they had completed a couple of drives. And that's one of their Achilles heels all year has been a tough time finishing drives. So, you know, that was something, but you know, I said that, you know, if they didn't leave any points on the field and, you know, didn't turn the ball over in the second half, I felt they would have a good shot to win. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. They did have the 2 blunders with the, a botched punt and the low snap that resulted in the 12-yard loss, both in the fourth quarter. Both could have cost us the game. Thankfully did not. We dodged a bullet there, but we came through when it counted, and, gosh darn it, we finished those 2 drives in the fourth quarter when we needed to. And Noah Hessing, what can you say about that kid? 4-year starter. We asked a lot of him. You know, Coach Woodard has such a long history of great running backs. I mean, just in my 11 years with the team, gosh, there's been Austin Blevins, Jacob Maple, Josh Miller, Dylan Foster, Dawson Anderson, Damian Gadia, Ricky Alsom, Jarrett Steven, Juan Nieto III. I think all of those guys have had 1,000-yard seasons, and several of them played college ball. But you know, this year, they didn't have much returning in the way of running backs. So he made the decision to move Hessing part-time to running back. For the most part, it worked. And then, you know, also, though he didn't play tonight, Troy Larison, the track and field star, had some very good moments with us as well. And he's a guy, I think that he played football the whole time through his whole career. I think he would have been a beast by now. He certainly has all the tools. I think sometimes his lack of football experience shows, but man, he's a great talent. And, you know, I think he'll probably go to college on a track and field scholarship, but, you know, the football team would be wise to take a look at him, maybe take him as a walk-on, you know, and see what they can do with him, because he's got all the tools to be a top-flight running back. But, you know, anyway, it was just so great to see these kids come through and make so many big plays. And Hunter Newell, he doesn't have the raw talent that some of Plainfield's quarterbacks have, but he's turning into a very, very smart, efficient player. To me, he reminds me a lot of Colin Nicewander, who's one of my all-time favorite Quakers without question. Maybe the biggest overachiever at quarterback I've ever commentated in my 11 seasons. And Newell has more tools to work with than Nicewander did. I mean, one thing that I loved about Nicewander is basically he was my size. He was 5'10" like I am, and 165, which is about what I am. I'm about 170 now. Newell is a much bigger guy. I mean, he's 6'3", 200. And, you know, he continues to work hard and improve. He's going to get a very good college scholarship a year from now, you know, as a senior. So it's just, you know, and, you know, it's good to see some of these guys like Isaiah Miller. He came through with a 30-yard reception tonight when we really needed a big offensive play. And there wasn't, you know, Noah Hessing, obviously, you know, because he carried so much and he got the 2 touchdowns, he would probably get my game ball tonight. But this was a team effort. There weren't a lot of guys who had huge statistics. There were just a lot of guys that, you know, made 2 or 3 good plays here and there, and it all really added up. And the guys just showed incredible heart and determination. It's like they knew that they had to have a whale of a game tonight. They knew they did not want to go into the playoffs, not only on a 3-game losing streak, but opening the playoffs tonight with 5 weeks since their last win. And quite frankly, against that last win coming against, well, yeah, Decatur Central, you know, obviously, it was a sweet win, but, I mean, they turned out to be not a very good team. I mean, they lost to Perry Meridian last week, the team that we really beat 28-0, even though they scored those 2 late touchdowns to make the final score not so bad. So, anyway, it was a great win. And now I feel a heck of a lot better. I mean, when we started off that fourth quarter and we were down, and you know, especially when we were down 17-7, and it was fourth and nine at the Martinsville 29, I was feeling pretty pessimistic. But then Newell came through with one of the best plays he's ever made, and you know, amazingly rushing 11 yards. I didn't think he was going to get it, but he did. And then Hessling from there took it in the rest of the way, the 18 yards for the score. And then, of course, 3 minutes later scored again to give us the lead. So, incredible, incredible heart by the guys tonight. They get a B for the first half and A minus for the second half. The only thing that stops them from getting the full-fledged day were the, again, the botched punt and the 12-yard loss on the bad snap. So, B for the first half, A minus for the second half, so B plus total for the game. So that's a very good way to end the season. Hopefully we'll bring our A game to each other tonight. As we start the playoffs, we're going to be back up at Harrison. It'll be 9 weeks after we were there back in week two. That's up in Tippecanoe County, about an hour and 20 minutes north of Plainfield. It's near West Lafayette, near the Purdue University campus. Harrison has not lost since, and they lost their opener to West Lafayette, the number one ranked team in Class 3A currently, the number one ranked team in Class 3A, the West Lafayette Red Devils. Since then, you know, after that they beat us, they went into their North Central Conference schedule. It's a much weaker conference within the Mid-State Conference. They've played two teams that have not won a game all season, Marion and Richmond, and then Arsenal Tech, which you know is 1-7 on the season coming into the night. They don't have, you know, much in the way of solid wins. They also beat McCutcheon, who's also in our sectional, who's 2-6 coming into the night. Anderson, who's 3-5 coming into the night. They did beat Logansport, who is 6-2 coming into tonight. So they have two or three quality wins, but generally they've played a very weak schedule. I think the reason they're ranked number 6 in Class 5A is because of their record, not because of their greatness. I mean, they're a solid team. They were good. I mean, they're a good, based on what I saw in week 2, they're a good team, but they're hardly an overwhelming team. And they're currently ranked 2 notches higher than Franklin, who's number 8. There's no way in my book that Harrison is better than Franklin. I think Franklin would beat Harrison pretty solidly. So anyway, we're going to go up to Harrison in 2 weeks. I hope you all will make the trip. Let's do everything we can to make sure it's not Coach Woodard's last game, and that we have that we're playing 3 weeks from tonight for a sectional championship, most likely against Decatur Central. How sweet it would be to beat the Hawks twice in one season after they entered the season with a 13-game winning streak against us. But anyway, let's go a quick glimpse of Harrison before we sign off here. They're a team that has nearly a 3-to-1 rush-pass ratio. Their starting quarterback is a senior by the name of Ben Henderson. He's not a super stat guy, but he's a very efficient player. He's completed 85 of 118 passes, an excellent 72%. 12 touchdowns, only 3 interceptions. Obviously a very smart player. His leading receiver is Carter McDonald, who has 29 receptions for 383 yards and 4 touchdowns, followed by senior Jake Walters, who has 18 receptions for 267 yards and 4 touchdowns, and Carter Canoy, a junior, with 20 receptions for 211 yards and 2 touchdowns. So a solid 3-man nucleus there. And then on the ground, Henderson is actually the leading rusher with 112 carries for 697 yards and 15 touchdowns, followed by Carter Canoy with 65 rushes for 511 yards and 3 touchdowns, and Ethan Pop with 69 rushes for 490 yards and 1 touchdown. So they've got some solid talent on the team, but it's not overwhelming talent. The main reason they beat us back in week 1 is that they shut down offensively almost completely until the fourth quarter. our only score until the fourth quarter came on came off a blocked punt that we recovered at their 8-yard line, and we scored on a pass on the first play of the ensuing possession on an 8-yard pass from Hunter Newell to Antonio Williams. Finally, we got the offense going in the fourth quarter. If we can get the offense going all four quarters tonight, if we can watch that game tape and figure out what they did to shut us down to win that game and make some adjustments, I think, if we come out there and fix what went wrong in that game, and if we do like we did in the second half tonight, no turnovers, and then if we don't have any unforced errors we had two in the second half tonight, then I think we're going to get the win. It's not a guarantee, but I think we've got a good shot at it, and that would set us up, taking us into the sectional championship game, hopefully at home, possibly on the road. But that puts them to sectional championship with a lot of momentum and give us about a 50-50 chance to beat Decatur Central and give Coach Woodard the sectional championship he most thoroughly deserves. So please get out there if you can. 2 weeks from tonight, we will be bringing you the game here on AudioSportsOnline.com. But if you can get out there in person, if we can get a few hundred, or a few thousand Quaker fans up there to make a lot of noise, hopefully we'll get good weather. But if not, bundle up and show these kids your love and support, as they try to, get that elusive sectional championship. It would be Coach Woodard's first year in his farewell season. It would only be the second in school history. And we have the best shot we've ever had to do it. This is the weakest sectional we've ever been in 8 years in Class 5A. We did get to the sectional championship in 2015, came within a play. It was a pass into the end zone on the last play that was incomplete. But I think this is our best shot to win the sectional this year. And once we do that, anything beyond that is house money. So get out there if you can. And finally, I just want to say before I go, for those of you who missed it the halftime, my mother died three days ago. If you can hear the story, on the archive version if you want. But anyway, in short, I decided, I know a lot of commentators probably would have taken the game off. I decided it would do good for my mental health to come out here and just relax my mind and just do one of my favorite things for 2 or 3 hours, which is to watch high school football and commentate it here in my home state of Indiana. And I came out and I feel a heck of a lot better now than I did 3 hours ago. And, so sometimes you just got to do what's good for your mental and emotional health. And sometimes sports can just be such a wonderful diversion and it's just a way to bring you joy. And it doesn't have to be sports. There's all kinds of things that we love that can bring us joy. And that's why the mixing of politics and sports have been such a disaster, because people turn to sports when, they just want to take a break from all the crap in the world for a while. So, and now so many people think that sports should be a place where you have to think about all the crap, and that just takes so much of the joy away from it for me and millions of others. So anyway, thanks for bearing with me and letting me share with you, my personal story tonight. And thanks for tuning in. I hope to see you up at Harrison in 2 weeks. If not, I will be bringing you the game, and I hope that you'll be joining me. So anyway, once again tonight, your final score here in Martinsville, the Plainfield Quakers 21, the Martinsville Artesians 17. The Quakers finished the regular season at 4-5, and the Artesians finish at 6-3. Well, this concludes our broadcast. As always, thank you so much for joining me, and I cordially invite you to do so again 2 weeks from tonight, not next week. We got a bye week next week, which I think will help us to get ready for the playoffs. And then I will see you all 2 weeks from tonight up at Harrison as your Plainfield Quakers open the playoffs against the Harrison Raiders. Until then, for AudioSportsOnline.com, this is Lex Zorn reminding you there is a difference only you can make.